You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. What's going on, everybody? You are listening to Public Access. This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers today to be talking about three different topics. Our three different happy camper topics are topic number one, what is your favorite miniature?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this can be, and I guess we're going to talk about this in detail later.
Of course, a toy, an animal, a piece of food,
anything,
an object, anything small.
Whatever. Topic number two is, what was your favorite Saturday morning cartoon, and what was your Saturday morning cartoon ritual? And topic number three is, have you grown more or less optimistic with age?
Right. And right now, Larry is at home. He is resting, but good news, if you have not heard it, happy campers, Larry is... on paper, cancer-free. Yay!
Yay!
Yay! What a crazy 2 months and a couple of weeks. It's just like, you have cancer, now you don't have cancer. What happened? It just happened. It's just crazy.
Now he's fine.
He's
recovering, resting up from two major surgeries.
Right.
Yeah, I'm calling him Wolverine because he had an entire kidney removed.
Right.
And then he had a chunk of his lung removed.
Yeah, but the doctor says he's healing really fine. However, it hurts really bad.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, does it hurt? It hurts. It hurts so bad.
Every time. It still hurts.
Every time. But he's healing, though.
Yeah.
But it just hurts.
He's Wolverine, but he's just really pansy Wolverine.
Yeah, really pansy.
Low pain tolerance Wolverine.
Yes. So as our special guest host filling in Larry's seat, we have our good friend, fellow filmmaker, San Antonio Ghostbuster, playwright, performer extraordinaire, Brian Ortiz.
Yay!
Brian Ortiz is here today. And then we have a fellow improvisationalist, performer, Ghostbuster, Brennan Loy.
Hello.
Also in the seat as our guest. How's it going, Brennan?
Oh, it's good. It's great.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Awesome, guys.
You both are wearing Ghostbuster shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yes.
We made a Ghostbuster jersey.
Like Ghostbuster's jersey.
Baseball jersey.
On top
jersey.
Of that.
More than that. More Ghostbuster's clothing than that. But
yes.
For revealing later.
Oh. I still have the Ghostbusters sticker.
As do I.
It is always here.
As do I.
Represented.
Nice.
Every different show.
Yeah. So, with that said, Ghostbusters, the reboot finally came out this weekend.
Woo-hoo.
All of us have seen it. But before we get into talking about the actual movie, Brian, your experience started a week before this. Would you care to share your experiences?
How did that come about?
The Ghostbusters SATX were really lucky because we got the opportunity from Sony Ghost Corps to attend the actual LA premiere before it came out on the 10th of July.
Okay, so Sony Ghost Corps, I saw the movie earlier today. That actually came on the screen. And I was like, what is that? So that was a part of how you...
Right. So when Sony decided to embrace the Ghostbusters franchise again, they created Ghost Corps with Ivan Reitman, the producer from the original, and a new team of people. Dan Aykroyd was also a producer. And so together they made this kind of company within it so they could handle the franchise with the new movies, potential cartoons, franchise rights, all kinds of stuff. And so within Sony, there's an actual little... tiny hook and ladder firehouse that they have with the car parked outside, and it's an office building where you can go look at all the Ghostbuster stuff, and you can, you know, they're doing all the work on everything. So they put this on over the course of like a year. They worked with Ghostbusters practically, so it's been a really long journey to get to that premiere day.
Awesome. And wow. So you guys, Ghostbusters San Antonio, SATX, y'all were invited to the LA premiere at the Chinese Theater?
Yeah
in Hollywood.
Yeah they sent out a message to they sent out a message to all the major Ghostbuster teams, the ones that registered with Ghost Corps. So
right.
We're like officially registered with Ghost Corps as the one of the official chapters of Ghostbusters. So they sent out that message. It was insane. It was like a week before it actually came out.
Oh, crap.
Oh, God. It was so stressful. And so they just sent it out. Like, do you want to go? Oh, God. Yes, of course. You know, childhood was hitting my face. I was just going crazy. So it was quick.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you just had to be be like, I got to go.
Yeah. Well, you got to coordinate. You got to get your team. Be like, who can go? Who wants to go? Who has the time and money? And, it's, you know, it's an L.A. trip, so it's not going to be cheap in any way.
Yeah, got to pack the gear, and the gear's not cheap to ship.
That's a story. Yeah. Good Lord. And so I was one of those idiots that wanted to bring everything.
Of course,
I want to bring my pack and all my stuff. And everyone's like, you're stupid. You're going to lose it. And but I was like, I don't care. And then I did care, but it didn't matter. I did it anyway. So because I have to have that experience for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. God, so insane. What did you bring?
I brought my standard uniform, the one I've had for a long time. Then I created a custom foam case for my proton pack itself. So I
took it apart. Oh, so it fits in like almost a camera gear almost.
One of those giant Pelican cases. Dual layered and everything is organized as heck. It looks really pretty. And so that was able to take that on the airplane. So with some TSA finagling.
Of course. Yeah.
That was an interesting thing to come up to the lady and be like, I'm going to check this in. It's overweight, but I need to talk to the TSA. And they're like, excuse me? Yeah. Look, it's a prop. But if you don't know what this is, I swear to you, it's going to look like a bomb. And I made, and I made sure to say bomb extra loud just to get attention.
Like there's a bunch of wires.
Right. It's electronics, blinking lights, wires, sound. This thing looks like a damn nuclear, proton pack. Yeah. So please get the TSA. I need to show them this thing. So that was its funny little and the dude checked it and he looked at it for a little bit and I was like, oh sir, it's a proton pack from the movie Ghost. And he stopped me. He's like, I know what it is. He's like, oh, I said, well, it looks much better when it's assembled. No, I got it. I'm geeking out. This is one of the cooler things I've ever had to scan. And he was so nice. He was very careful. He was like, oh my God, this is beautiful.
The detail in this work is amazing.
He's like, sir, this is excellent. Now give it to me. And he starts, disassembling it and checking it for bombs and stuff like that. But it was a hell of an experience trying to get that on a plane and traveling with it.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. So premiere night, it's you and a bunch of chapters from across the nation of essentially official Ghostbusters. Right. And you're there at the red carpet and you see who? In the whole midst of things.
So I'll tell this. It's a very funny story how that works out too, because there's so many chapters and some of the larger ones like Arizona, which have like, 50 plus members, New Hampshire, Louisiana, New Jersey, New York, all of them.
But
are
they don't
there.
Recognize Wyoming, right?
No, they never, nobody recognizes Wyoming. Wyoming, if you are Ghostbusters out there, I love you. Just
I don't recognize
it. I don't recognize the chapter Ghostbusters Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
So we got there and they put us in like they shut down that whole block. They built up like a mini firehouse, this like block long red carpet, and they had all the Ghostbusters up in bleachers. So we got there a little later and they put us up at the very top of the bleachers, so it's only four of us and we're trying to compete to get attention, to see people, to do all kinds of stuff. Our other chapter, Dallas, who is like one of the largest chapters in Texas, they had gotten positioned on a much different area due to the max capacity on the bleachers. So they put them by the door of the actual theater itself next to the green carpet. And so we're talking online. I was like, where'd you go? Where'd you go? And like, we're by the green carpet. I was like, oh God. Yeah, I want to be by the green carpet. So I'm sitting up there. The right side of my face is sizzling. I look just, it's half tan, half white. So I look like a weird burnt marshmallow at some point. And we're toasting in these Nomex flight resistant suits. So like I'll burst into flames, but the suit will contain me. So that's the positive side. So I work my magic. I talk to like four different people and I'm like, our team got separated. Can we join our team? Yeah. And luckily God bless Dallas. We turn to them and they look at us and they're like, hey,
nice. Yeah. Thanks,
that helped
Dallas.
So much. And we joined Dallas and they were real great and they helped us to be there. So we got that close. So by the time that happened, after everyone walked like the mile long carpet, then they finally got there. Everyone started coming through. Andy Garcia came through, and that was like epic. And then all the Ghostbusters came through. Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones. And some of them had to book it. Some stayed and signed everything.
Oh, wow.
Ivan Reitman came, and that was huge. Oh, my God. Everyone just lost it. And he stayed, and he talked to everyone, and he gave autographs for everyone, and he was thanking everybody so much for doing what they did.
Wow.
So that was great. Not to mention all the cavalcade of like other stars that randomly. I forgot that other stars go to these things.
Yeah, so, like other people just wanted to be there.
I was there for like, I wanted to see Paul Feig, and I was like, oh, Paul Feig, I want to see Paul Feig. You don't get to usually meet the directors and the Ghostbusters. And so, but then I was like, we're just standing there. I was like, hey, is that? is that Tony Hawk? And we're like, is that legendary pro skater Tony Hawk?
He loves Ghostbusters.
And I was like, holy crap. So like, we started getting their autographs. SNL cast members started showing
Heck
up.
Yeah.
Of course. You know what I'm saying? Andy Richter showed up from Conan. I was like, oh, Andy, high five, Andy Richter. And so it just kept coming like that. Kevin Smith and his whole family, like his wife and his daughter came. And so that was really cool because I finally met another hero of mine.
Yeah.
You know, Melissa McCarthy's husband, who is a really, you know, it's all right. He's a great comedian and a great performer as well. So the cast, it was just, it was so cool, man. Everyone just kept coming out of the woodwork and it was insanely crazy. And so being that close, getting those autographs was just mind numbing at the same time. It was hard to focus. My heart was beating like crazy. I mean, wow, talk about one heck of an experience.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. And then the thing is all those people outside, everybody got to see the movie that night?
Yeah, so again, Ghost Corps, for all, everything they did was actually really a lot of fun for us. They really fan-serviced, if you will. I mean, how many... I mean, Star Wars probably is the most, right?
Yeah,
but,
right.
But for Ghostbusters, it's like, God, you know? And so they did is they let us be there for the premiere. And they escorted us to a Papa John's pizza party on the top of...
You're all a bunch of kids.
One of the other stars, did you see Papa John's walk the red carpet?
As like Ghostbusters, we got a pizza party.
Yay!
And
so,
straight.
So they put us up on like the top of like Madame Tussauds, and then they had us like eat pizza. And
perfect!
That was hilarious. Bunch of sweaty... super hot Ghostbusters cooking in suits, just grabbing boxes. And
yeah.
I was like, yay, typical. And so after they kept us up there, we got this great message saying, hey, guys, your time for the screening has been moved up. And so they were going to give us a screening just for the Ghostbusters themselves.
Damn.
Not public, not everyone else, not just the Ghostbusters. And this nice lady came. She said, hey, look, things are going to change a little bit. Did you hear? We're like, no, what's up? We are going to move your screening. It's at 9 something, but we're going to move it to about 10:15, 10:30 almost. And we're like, okay, why? Well, see, we had you in this one theater, but Paul Fee requested that you guys be moved into the IMAX main theater where the celebrities were just at.
Awesome, yeah.
And we were like, huh? Paul Fee? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And we're like, okay. And so we switched out and we got in line. We got there. And one of the great moments was that we, the Ghostbusters that were on that red carpet, or excuse me, the green carpet, because it was slime related.
Of course.
We missed Paul Feig because he, again, you know, it's like hundreds of photographers and people. So we missed him and we were all really sad. He showed up to that screening and waited outside for the Ghostbusters and stood there and took photos and answered questions and signed everything and was probably one of the kindest gentlemen I have ever met in my entire life, especially for a dude, and he's dressed really nice and he's really classy and he's silly. And so he went in and he gave a big speech to all the Ghostbusters, and then they played the movie and we all started crying practically, and then we all turned 5 years old again, and we're just standing on our seats. And oh my God, so they moved us into a beautiful theater just for us, and it was like a magical moment for Ghostbusters.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. And so fast forward to a week and a day later, you have seen the movie how many times?
Five times.
Five
times.
Awesome. That needless to say, you liked it a lot.
I did.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's awesome. We all saw it, right?
Yes.
Brennan, did you see it?
Yes. I've only seen it once. I am trying to catch up, though. I was unfortunately... unfortunately, I was performing in New York improv. Ooh,
yes, and I want to talk about that. Yeah, too. Yes,
it was
awesome.
Such an unfortunate occurrence that I wasn't able to make it because I was performing in New York.
But, that's a good reason, I guess.
Yeah. But
you're
I have
at
to
the
say,
home of Ghostbusters, so that's an okay. You were at the hook and ladder, dude.
Yeah,
that's okay, right. Dude. You were at the Mecca.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, that's a consolation prize. I will say, I was looking at Facebook, looking at Brian post everything the whole time, all the red carpet stuff, and I was like, all right. You know, I'm not jealous.
Stupid New York, I'll be here again.
The moment of like, damn it, I'm jealous was Tony Hawk. Weirdly enough.
Really? Your legendary Tony Hawk.
Yeah, I mean, everyone else, obviously, you know, Gus Bush.
Yeah, whatever.
I love Tony Hawk. I have all the games, everything, and I have since I was like a child. And I wasn't expecting that, obviously, to be the case.
Because why would you?
Yeah. I'm not jealous. I'm not just... No!
Tony!
Damn it.
I have my PS2 game.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, copy of Police Academy 3 to sign. Or is it 4? Which one? I don't know. He's in one of them. I think it's the fourth one. I'm not sure.
Whichever one is David Spade, right? Is that they're together?
It's Citizens on Patrol. Is that
part? Yeah. That's
3 or 4? Three. I think it's three.
I think it's three.
All right, cool. Yeah, man. Bone up on your Police Academy knowledge, Facebook.
You'll let us know in the
happy
comments.
Campers. Yeah, someone's going to brutally correct us. Yeah, I think it's Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol. I liked it a lot. I liked it a great deal. My only qualm was the cameos. I thought the cameos were...
Yes!
I thought the cameos, as much as like a loyal fan of the original would be pleased about seeing the original cast in a movie, the way I looked at it would be like if you watched an Avengers or a Marvel movie and Stan Lee popped up five times. There's a Harold Ramis cameo that is awesome because it's really quick and it's a beautiful little tribute and it's not intrusive of the movie or the story. And so I love that. And I wish like the rest of the cameos were almost that non-interruptive because they kind of stopped the flow of the movie to be like, oh, I know who this person is. And then, like, the other aspect of it, the weird thing of it, it didn't bug me, but it was just a little weird because Ghostbusters is such an iconic cultural phenomenon,
right?
And it exists in our reality. So in this new movie, you're in a reality where Ghostbusters does not exist.
Yeah, yeah.
But things like Jaws and DeBarge does. And to me, like, it was really weird to have those things exist and then have Bill Murray and Annie Potts and Dan Aykroyd pop up and then they're not recognizable people.
Right.
That's like a weird, and but to me
that's
it
a
wasn't
deep meta.
Yeah, it wasn't a deal breaker. It wasn't like, oh god damn it. Like it was just like, oh no, they're of course. Yes, they're there. But beyond that, the cast was awesome. Mm-hmm. Kate McKinnon, every single frame, every single shot that she was in me laugh or smile.
You stole it.
She was great. It was surprisingly family friendly aside from like a queef joke.
Yeah.
I guess that was all right. Like it was, but it was weird. Yeah. I was expecting more edge. I was expecting them to.
Yeah. They had the Paul Feig.
Yeah.
Spy
I was expecting
bride
to
maid.
Kind of break. Yeah, yeah. To do like a PG-13 spy, and spy is just out there and it's wonderful. And I was expecting maybe, and not that it harmed it. I was just expecting it to be a little bit on more edge,
right.
Considering the original is blue collar, you know, laid back. It's a PG-13 movie. It was PG when it came out. PG-13 didn't exist, but it was that line of like this semi like safe adult comedy.
Right.
And this one was like aside from again like a really weird queef joke that was just like a queef joke.
Yeah, I was like, all right,
bring in the queef joke.
Yeah,
they're gonna have this kind of humor in the movie then, and then like
and then it didn't have anything like that. Nothing goes by, and it was really. But yeah,
sure the kids don't know. They just think it's a fart.
Yeah, it's a fart.
Joke.
Yeah,
sometimes
you have a fart and it rides up the other way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's safe for children.
But by the time the credits rolled and everything, I was like, yeah, I will watch another one of these easily. Yeah, like it's plain simple. Like I was satisfied.
Awesome. I like the fact that you don't need like. It's one of those things you don't need to see. You don't need to have seen the original one to enjoy it a lot because it's very different. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, it's very the same, but very different. And I really, really like that about it, that it was so different. And I think Chris Hemsworth is dreamy.
Oh man, dude,
beefcake.
Man,
I loved him.
No,
I loved him.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I absolutely loved him. Too.
You know, they
he's
told
so
him
good.
They told him what to do. Like, hey, this is your character. He's like, you know, I've got it. Don't worry about it. I'll do this. You know what I'm saying? And he just went at it. He just went for it, and it was so easy for him to have so much fun.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Oh my god, yeah. You could see it.
I agree. That was no the first finger.
Yeah,
yes. I sat next to this family and it was like this husband. Well, I was next to the wife and then their two kids. Their kids were about like 12 ish or younger or whatever. And then Lisa was like, oh, this poor lady's gonna have to deal with you're laughing. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to deal with their fucking kids, so who cares? But no, like, yeah, he stuck his finger through his glasses and I was like, ah! Like, I just started laughing like an idiot because it was just so, like, oh, it was perfect.
Yeah. The ultimate cherry on top of the very end when he throws the sandwich away.
Yeah.
So oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Absolutely lost it. That was brilliant and hilarious.
Yeah.
And see, that's what I loved about it is that they weren't afraid to go that far because, you know, the first Ghostbusters is very grounded in these blue-collar guys.
Absolutely.
This movie was like, you know, towards that, again, you know, no major, trying to do major spoilers, but there was that scene where our bad guy turns in, it's just this animated.
Yeah.
And when I saw that and we got real Roger Rabbit for a second, I was like, I know what this is. I got it. Okay. This whole movie, the rules are really set high on this one. Our universe, we can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I love that they pushed that. They pushed that sandwich joke. And, oh, man, they weren't afraid to do some good comedy in this piece.
I just love the first one's obviously, you know, comedic genius and grounded and everything like that. And I just think something about, Paul Feig's obviously great. I love Bridesmaids. I love all, you know, I'm watching Freaks and Geeks right now, actually.
Good.
And, yeah, all that is so great. And I feel like it's much more, people can enjoy Ghostbusters that are my age, early 20s. But I think this one, just the humor, not knowing anything about it, is much more of this generation.
Yeah. It's a new kind of comedy that's out right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, as 1984 was that kind of comedy, mm-hmm. we now have this kind of comedy. Mm-hmm. And I think it is appealing to people. And I think they're seeing that for the first time.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask this. So at the premiere with the room full of Ghostbusters, how was the general, not just reception, live reception, but just talking with other people? Right. How was their reception of the movie?
You know, I'm sure there were those people who still hated it. You know what I'm saying?
You think, like, even in that group?
I love the Ghostbuster community, but again, a lot of them still, they also have that same mindset of like, this shouldn't be, I don't believe in reboots and things like that. So they have a right to believe in that. But I do feel that a majority who did walk in apprehensive because they were at most they were on guard.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I didn't
hear anybody come in full on hating or being disrespectful or ugly.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be there costume and everything.
I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of apprehension. But I tell you what, when Paul Feig walked in, the whole room stood up and cheered and chanted his name. And when that thing ended, everyone stood up, wiped their tears, chanted and got excited again. So people walked out with smiles on their faces, ready to see more. So in general, I think everyone walked out just extremely happy that even at the base level, it didn't suck. At the bare minimum.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, if you want to argue, we can argue about it. But like, this movie is not a bad movie. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Just the basic. Yeah.
Even if you're angry with it, it's still a mediocre movie to you, which is fine. You know what I'm saying? So, but everyone in Ghostbusters walked out just happy and feeling like a kid again and just very, very positive.
Yeah,
when
to me, it's so enjoyable. It's an enjoyable movie. The fact that like you have to go in there going, I'm not going to like this to not like the movie.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it's so strange. I have never been on this side of like a phenomenon before where I saw it before it came out. You know, I have a strong opinion of it. I obviously love Ghostbusters. I'm not a super passionate movie guy. I'll enjoy movies, but I'm like, it needs to be good. It needs to be bad. But just watch, I have to like, you know, I've looked at IMDb a couple times and just the, you know, anger and like people are ignorant. They're not intolerant, and it's very funny having these emotions for myself of anger at these people that I never have.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Like, because it's good that we all saw it. So, like, Larry was here, we couldn't have this.
Yeah, exactly. Thank goodness.
Yeah,
Larry's
good thing Larry's not here. He's probably
couldn't talk about it.
Yeah. it was a blast. I enjoyed it. I would watch more. Like I said, even at its worst moments, and I say worst meaning least likable, I was still happy. Like I was like, oh, okay, like, yeah, all right, moving on. And then it hits what little beats it didn't hit, it was just on the next thing, and it was just really enjoyable. So at the most, I liked it a lot.
I tell people a lot, like when they ask me, how was it? You know, without being too gushy and getting too much into it, I say it really simply. I say, hey, did you like the real Ghostbusters cartoon? And they're like, yeah, I like the real Ghostbusters cartoon. All right, this is like a really, really well-written episode of the real Ghostbusters. Because if you think about it, like that's what I like most is that the original is very grounded in its blue-collar world and its science. Mm-hmm. This one is a lot more whimsical, much like the cartoon was. Mm-hmm. The cartoon had no fear when it came to inventing technology and dealing with all kinds of different demon spirits and ghosts. And they did things like traverse different dimensions and got stuck in different worlds. And so, and then the action in that was so much fun. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're rolling around, they're shooting things, they're bouncing proton beams off of stuff. So as a kid growing up, that's what I always had wished that Ghostbusters 2 was. Like much more action, much more moving around, much more, jump in different worlds and things. And then this movie does that. Yeah. That's what got me excited. It fulfilled that childhood fantasy of wanting to see Ghostbusters push to the next level, which physically pushed to the next level. And that was exciting as heck.
That's awesome. So before we move on to these one more time, these delicious Hostess things.
Brought to you by Hostess.
So Brennan, as a part of the Alamo City Improv Group, y'all guys had an adventure, as you mentioned earlier, a New York adventure. What was up with that?
It was the Del Close Marathon. UCB has it every year.
Real quick for our audience, Del Close is?
A founder of UCB.
UCB is?
Upright Citizen Brigade. Basically, improv as we know it today started there. That was the genesis. And so we went up there to have this huge celebration and nonstop. It's 72 hours, something like that. 9 different theaters across Manhattan. And so we were up there for, I hadn't been to New York before. I was up there for like 5 days. We were up there for a certain amount of days and, obviously sightseeing everything. And then, we met so many people just all over the country. Just looking at the list, just every city that you could think of, Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Exactly.
They don't recognize Wyoming either.
Right. Yeah. No, I didn't see that.
Sorry,
obviously. No, it was great, and it's totally awesome to see, it being legitimized, and I think, what's his face? Mike Birbiglia has a movie coming out.
Nice.
Don't Think Twice. It's kind of been, as improv is getting a little more mainstream, I think, people are catching on to going to see it. It was cool to see, people coming in and it being more of a well-known entity, and I think that's great, bringing it back here to San Antonio. What we're doing here, hopefully trying to grow the scene and being the next New York, LA, whatever.
Right. Awesome. Well, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
How did it feel to be like, for you, right, all the years you've done improv, like doing improv in New York?
Oh, yeah. No, it was great. I mean, and we went to LA too last year, and that was great. That's one, and it's kind of the other. We just have to go to Chicago next.
Being in
New York, seeing, Matt Walsh. I didn't get to see her, but I mean, Amy Poehler was just there. All these people that if you do improv, it's like the,
these are the godfathers.
Yeah, the Dons. And, just being even in the same, realm as them, just really for anyone that's trying to accomplish anything or use this to get anywhere, it was
cool
to see all of that and be in that area.
And to be a first timer in New York thing and have that all there. He's a sightseeing on top of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
I still have not been there.
What?
No.
Dude, you'd love it.
I think I'd run around and get lost.
It's one of the few places I was very anti. Like, I never wanted to go to New York for the longest time. I was like, I don't want to go. There's just a bunch of buildings and crap. Seriously. And I was like, it's too much of a city.
Yeah,
like,
I know that feeling 100%.
And then I went there and I was like, oh, this place is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just immediate. You're like, oh, this city is awesome. Okay, I get it.
I mean, obviously I loved it. It was great. I want to go back. But we did stay in Midtown Manhattan, a couple blocks away from Times Square. Ooh, and, nice. Just so much everything, five senses, just nonstop. I got home. My flight got in at night. And I stood in my driveway after I got out of the car. And everything was so quiet.
It was silent.
There was no one. There was like 10 feet without someone there. Yeah. And it smelled so good. I could see the sky. And I was like, wow, this is what it's like to live.
You feel like you're in like deep, deep West Texas, in Marfa, where there's like nothing there.
Right.
But it's just San Antonio.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is amazing. Thank you for sharing your experiences, both you gentlemen.
Absolutely.
Let us move on to...
Yeah, Jess has been eyeing these Twinkies.
The portion that I like to call, let's eat these Twinkies.
Let's eat stuff while talking.
Let's stop talking. Yeah. Let's stop putting food in your mouth, and then you get to listen to food being mouth. All right.
Wait, cool. These are the key lime ones.
Yeah. Oh, actually, we can figure out which ones are which.
Oh, okay. Then these are the key lime ones, right?
No, that's marshmallow.
Yeah, there's normal marshmallow. And here you go, key lime.
All right, so we'll...
Brought to you by Ghostbusters Sheboygan.
Yeah, Sheboygan. Ghostbusters Sheboygan, thanks for providing the Hostess.
All right, I gotta try key lime slime.
Key lime slime.
I don't eat the marshmallow one too often, so I'm gonna do that.
Key lime slime. I'm a fan of key lime.
I like key lime.
Shout out to Dame Drops. You got a show on Cookie Network now.
Did he?
Yes. Good job.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you, sir.
So, this is the marshmallow one.
Oh, wow.
Coated in like a marshmallow thing. Yeah, all right. Crazy.
That is tasty. Right.
Ready? There you go, gentlemen. Enjoy.
All right. So green. Mm. It probably looks like brown because of that phone lens cap and the lighting.
Oh, this is better than I remember.
Yeah. If you didn't tell me it was clean lime, I'd be like, yeah, it's just a Twinkie.
Got that hint.
But you can smell it.
Yeah. And it's not as... I thought it was going to be more... Like, the picture shows it.
Potent.
I thought it was like a juicy ooze that was going to come out at first.
I'm glad it's not a juicy ooze.
No, me too.
it's just got a hint.
It's a hint of key lime inside your Twinkie. This marshmallow is way better than I remember. Good Lord.
Still good. Still good Twinkie.
We had this.
All right.
We had this. So one of the first events that we had was a Ghostbusters gathering at this great place called the Perky Nerd. Shout out to the Perky Nerd.
The Perky Nerd located where? I don't know.
In Burbank? Burbank, California? It's this great little, like, coffee house, comic book shop, toy shop,
nice.
All put together. A little bit, you know, they get some, sell some beers. It's awesome. And they were really kind. They put on this event for us. And in doing so, they had, like, a huge line, right? And they were nice enough to put all of these Twinkies on a tray and walk them out to people.
Nice.
For fancy. Free. And so they were giving out these. And then they had, this was my favorite. I'll never forget this. They had an Ecto Cooler fountain.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
And then we're supplying all night to the nerds so we could all just put our cups and drink Ecto Cooler all night.
And, that's awesome. And it's legit Ecto Cooler too, right. Because of this, it's resurfaced and it's right. out there.
That's the other thing I saw other than Tony Hawk. No!
Ecto Cooler fountain.
Ecto Cooler fountain. Ecto Cooler fountain. My dreams are all over there.
As a big fan of the Draft House, I did not try their take on the Ecto Cooler because it was a stupid reason. My brain really processed it this way. I was like, I'm not going to drink the Ecto Cooler because I have a long drive ahead of me, and I zero sense. Like after, like I ate, I was like, "Why did I come up with that rationale?" I still drank tea. It doesn't matter what you drink, and you have to drive. So I unnecessarily skipped out on drinking their drink, but I did have the Draft House's Slimer salsa.
How was that?
Which was pretty good. It was like a sweet salsa. Very lot of lime, cojita cheese, cilantro.
Ooh, nice.
It was like a green chili salsa, heck but yeah. it was kind of sweet, and it was very, very good. So this is the marshmallow. Yeah.
This is delightful as well.
It's coated.
It's right? coated in marshmallow.
Mm.
Oh, God.
So
I might have to wait to eat that one. I could get a sugar rush.
Oh, wow.
Right? Yeah. I'm telling you, they taste better now than because I first had I was like, this looks kind of okay. It's a little marshmallow. That's fine. Now... Sitting down calmly, I'm like, oh my God, this is...
Getting to savor it.
Yes.
This is very chewy, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that the marshmallow ones are like, you don't see them as much?
I have, because the whatever distribution plan they had is extremely confusing. Like, for the love of God, in Texas, it's like, some areas have a ton of these. Some areas have Ecto Cooler in their stores. But for whatever reason, I guess San Antonio hates Ecto Cooler because they won't bring that.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't like bothered to look for it because I figured it'd be easy to get. But
maybe HEB
yeah.
has something against
HEB,
them.
Like they found some in like Austin. There's some in Dallas. But they're never. But you can buy it on HEB online, HEBonline.com. You can buy it there. Or you can also buy it on Amazon. And I hope they keep this because it is hard to buy. Because once it goes up, it's gone in 2 days.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Every time it's on Amazon, if you don't order it when they tell you it's up, forget it. Amazon only lets you buy one at a time. That's how much they're crazy.
Is it in cans or is it in like actual Hi-C boxes?
Cans
or
and
both?
Hi-C boxes. The Hi-C boxes I've never seen here in San Antonio, but again, I've heard that they popped up in other parts of Texas, or mostly they're really up north a lot.
I bet you like in their like random Valeros because like different distribution plan, but Lay's, when they do their chip challenge – and they have the special chips.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
So you can find those at like a random.
You know where you can find them? CVS and Walgreens.
Yeah. You can find them at like a random.
That's probably where there's a ton of these Twinkies yeah. and Ecto Coolers.
People wondering why they're not buying it. Like, what do we do like, with this? Want... Nobody's buying
yeah,
these.
Yeah, I went the Wasabi Ginger Lay's and I'm like, oh, they're never at the store HEB. And you walk into a random 7-Eleven and they're like, oh, they're like right here in a giant bag. Yeah. And you get your stock on.
I never found, but today I found like the marshmallow ones and like a ton of them at a random Walmart in San Antonio. I was like, man, the whole time you've been here? Ugh.
Oh, man. So that's intense. I'm like, I think I'm sweating. I'm sugar sweats. that marshmallow one's intense. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I feel kind of flushed. It's good.
Yep.
That's good.
I was going to bring the Ecto Cooler, but I think we all would have turned diabetic.
Yeah, no.
I just had a real
deal. Yeah, you have to know. Man's got to know his limits. Brian Brennan, thank you for joining
absolutely.
Us. We're going to move on to the rest of the show and we're going to get on to our topics.
All right, Jess, what do you got for us today?
Oh, everybody, it's time for another exciting installment of Yeah, I'm gonna look into that, a segment where I talk about movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners is going to be, yeah, I'm gonna look into that. So what we're talking about this week is Nintendo. They had a couple big things over the week, one of them being the obvious Pokemon Go phenomenon that is hilariously enough just like the commercial they advertised, where people are running in the streets going so I was like, it'll never be like that, and then sure as shit there's videos of people running in parks in droves playing together, chasing Charizard by collecting a shitload of fucking Pidgeots and goddamn Rattatats. But you know, hey, you know that, you just, I don't know, you add to the collection. But that is not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the tiny miniature revival of the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah.
For the people in not in the know who may be a bit younger, the Nintendo Entertainment System was the Nintendo's original system in the 80s.
Yeah, Brandon.
Man knows what it is.
Yeah.
So it was a small little
Genesis, right?
It is a small little gray box. You slid cartridges in it, and you played 8-bit games. And
cartridges, boxes around, and hurt each other with tiny boxes on screen.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yes. 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 Exactly. Boxed characters.
Yeah. And it was a bunch of little Minecraft. It's 2D Minecraft.
Yeah. It's playing like a flat Minecraft.
2D Minecraft.
Yeah, I know that's weird, but trust me. Yeah. Flat Minecraft. That's a great description.
Yeah, that's a great description. Yeah,
flat Minecraft. That's how I'll explain it to children.
Yeah. So the miniature NES, called the Mini NES, it is a tiny emulation. Yeah, it's a tiny emulation system. Mini NES. That has 30 games stored on it, and it has plug-and-play controllers that are the old-school Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES controller. Nice. So it's the two-button select and start little pad, plugs into this tiny thing, and this thing's tiny. It fits in the palm of your hand. And the only output it has is an HDMI cable that goes to your TV, and I would imagine it upscales to 1080p, because it's probably using the same emulation engine that the Wii U uses now, because the Wii U system already plays old school Nintendo games and has a wide selection. Almost practically all the games that are stored in this are on Wii U, but they're like $5 a piece minimum. So the value here is like, you know, you can spend $5 a pop at 30 games and get, it's $150 bucks, or it's $60 for this neat little novelty system that's a standalone for casual people who aren't gamers, who just want a little bit of that old school nostalgia. And then you can be that guy and go, well, you can like put it on an SD card and you can play it on your keyboard and your computer. Yeah, you could do that. But for the non-savvy people, and it just looks really cool and it's neat and it's a cool little toy and it's licensed by Nintendo. And
you just want to get it for your kids or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the emulation's better. Like, I'm sorry, there's some games you emulate on a computer and they're not good. The emulator doesn't play them quite well.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's 1080p. It looks great. It doesn't have the sweet links. Even for
those
people,
8 bits look great.
Those 8 bits look dynamite. They look nice and clear because people
1080p
crisp squares
of 8 bits
and 8-bit goodness. Because even if you do have your old school 8-bit system, you plug it into your TV, it's going to have interference. It's going to look a little blurry because it's RCA. And unless you're like a fucking wackadoo like me and you want to RGB mod your system and buy a little contraption that upreses it to 1080p and plays it a real RGB at the cost of over $500 by the time you mod shit, or you can spend $60 and play 30 games on this goddamn miniature NES, which is a great option. So I personally love the Mini NES, and if I may, I'm going to go down the list of games. It's really quick. It's 30 games, and these are
there's some good ones there.
These are all good ones. I'm telling you, like, if you're old or new, these are good games. You have Balloon Fight, which is old school, Bubble Bobble, Castlevania 1, Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest,
nice.
Donkey Kong, Donkey Kong Jr. They skip the bullshit and go right to Double Dragon 2. They skip that dog shit part 1, which a lot of people played. Oh, it was fun.
No.
Face the facts. The game's garbage. It's all about Double Dragon 2, the revenge. It's very sad because the beginning of the game, your girlfriend gets shot and murdered, and then you revenge him. And at the end, they're like, it's still sad. She's dead.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really powerful lesson to learn at a young
age.
Classic
kids game.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Mario.
I love Dr. Mario.
Yeah. Excitebike, the original Final Fantasy, Galaga, the original Ghosts and Goblins, so you learn that pain of throwing your controller at the TV when you can't win, Gradius, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure,
Mario Brothers, Mega Man 2. They're going to give you one Mega Man, so they're going to give you Mega Man 2. And arguably, you can't go wrong with that.
That's true.
The original Metroid.
Yes.
The original Ninja Gaiden.
Ooh.
Pac-Man. Punch-Out featuring Mr. Dream. Unfortunately, you can't do Mike Tyson's Punch-Out because they don't have the rights to Mike Tyson.
Really?
Yes. Oh, so, like, after Mike Tyson's Punch-Out was after a while, early 90s, they discontinued the game, and they called it Punch-Out featuring Mr. Dream. Mr. Dream is Mike Tyson.
It's Mike Tyson.
He's a palette swap. It's exactly the same pattern. Yeah. Star Tropics, which is a really cool adventure game. You fucking fought with a yo-yo. It was badass.
Wow.
If you'd played that game without the manual, you could be potentially stuck because the manual had a hidden clue. This is pre Metal Gear Solid, where Metal Gear Solid had shit in the manual that you had to refer to. This was before that, so that's actually pretty cool. Super Mario Brothers 1, Super Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers 3, yes. Tecmo Bowl. So you fucking whip your homeboy's ass playing it because he sucks at football. And then you also get The Legend of Zelda 1 and you get The Legend of Zelda 2.
So is Tecmo Bowl the only sports game?
That is the only
besides
sports
Excite
game on there.
Bike,
I don't know why. Okay, Excitebike, but why isn't Nintendo's Baseball on there?
Nintendo's Baseball is great. Like, it's awesome. I love that game so much. That's why I'm kind of a little sad they didn't have more sports games. Like, also Nintendo Tennis, like just
the
original Tennis
or Nintendo Golf.
Was good too,
oh, freaking, yeah. Wait.
Blades of Steel?
Blades of Steel.
Yeah.
It's freaking good. Yeah. Like, so...
So it's all about also the rights of these games,
because
a lot of these games, like I said, they're on Wii U, so that means they renewed
Nintendo.
The rights. A lot of them are Nintendo games, but the ones that aren't Nintendo, they had to have the rights renewed for them.
Like
Double Dragon, Super C. I don't know why it's the original Contra's not on there, but take it from me, Super C is better. It is. But people are nostalgic about Part 1, but Part 2 has the music that is like the best music on any Nintendo game. I'm super stoked. It's a great little device. It's a great stocking stuffer. It comes out in fall for all you like people who aren't serious about gaming, but you want to get a throwback. I think it's mega awesome. Yeah, I'm going to look into that. So that actually inspires our first topic for the evening. And the topic is, what is your favorite miniature? This Nintendo Mini NES is a small little Nintendo that fits in the palm in your hand. And so we're talking about miniatures. This topic is also inspired by my absolute loathing of this network of videos of miniature food cooking. It infuriates me to no end, but there is this network of videos. If you look it up on YouTube, they're called like mini food or mini cooking. Lisa loves these things. Picture tiny little plates, like tiny doll plates. Just like
wait, but is it real food though?
It is real food.
That's stupid.
So it's like a doll kit, but they're real china plates.
Yeah.
And so what they'll do is they take a tiny, like, kitchen knife and cut up tiny pieces of chicken. And then they have this little miniature frying pan, and they'll dab the frying pan with oil and then put a candlelight under it. Like the candlelight heats the frying pan, and they fry these tiny pieces of food and garnish it. So it's supposed to be lettuce or cabbage. It's a tiny little Brussels sprout, and they cut the little Brussels sprout, whatever. There's millions of views for this miniature food.
Yeah.
Drives me insane because it's the way they filmed. They're also meant for universal audiences. Most of them are from Korea or Japan.
I'm sure.
But when they play them, there's just white noise and the sound of like the tiny. It's just like,
I mean, that's
you
a that's
fucking
a
dickhead.
Thing.
Stop it.
That's a thing.
Stop
though, like,
cooking that food. You make it bigger. I get really mad. I yell at Lisa. So stop doing that. So this topic is also inspired about favorite miniature, not disliked miniature. Maybe you like miniature food. I'm not going to judge
you. Is that what they feed the little burritos to hamsters? Is that what they make it out
of?
Oh,
man. That's pretty good.
That is awesome. And like, I would be at the end of this video,
I was gonna say,
if they fed them to like hamsters. Buns or hamsters, then I'd be like, oh man, this is awesome.
Okay.
But they just take a long shot of it like far back. And I'm like, I get creeped out because I think when the camera cuts, some dude just spunks on it. Like, just really weird.
That's a whole nother.
That's a whole nother
$10.99 a month you get to watch those videos.
Yeah, it just creeps me out how they have this long shot of this food and who's going to eat it? It's tiny. Anyways, best miniatures.
Or do you think at the very end of the video, the person goes, I'm a giant. Mama, I hope play that works. Oh, no. And it's just this weird fantasy that they have.
It's an overseas fetish. It's a giant fetish. That yeah. makes perfect
I would be
sense.
Okay with that, then, but that's when it cuts off and it just creepingly goes to black.
You need the money shot of that video, which right. is something eating it.
Yeah. Something eating it. I get mad when it just pans back and that little next, the loading next video symbol comes on. And I just like, it's like, that's like my intensifier angry meter going, ah! Like it just powering up to the next video.
There's no ending to the yeah. tiny food. Yeah. You need closure. Yeah. Tiny food.
They fed it to their baby, but in slow motion, so it looks like the baby's a giant and going no to him. Like, so I get it.
Well, I know, like in Japan, like you can buy the kits for it. Yeah, that's what people are making these from. So yeah.
Exactly. Because they have the usually those videos also, it's not just the plate. It's like the whole kitchen. The whole kitchen is made sure. So when the food's presented, it's on a tiny little table with tiny little chairs and tiny
there
little paintings on
there.
There
are people who get an incredible amount of satisfaction from watching this.
I get it. It's it's like boat in a bottle. I understand it. I get it. But then I get mad because it's like, who's eating that food? Yeah. What are you making it for?
Yeah, again, what's it for?
If you fed it to Hamtaro, then I'd be like, all right, cool. Yes, yeah. then you, but you're not.
I look forward to seeing that at Saint Japan this year. So.
Oh, man. There's going to be a booth of like the miniature cookers SATX.
A really tiny booth.
We should do that.
Don't say a tiny booth.
And then we have a camera set up and it enlarges it.
And you have your microphone. Hey, I'm Regan. I'm going to cook some food for you here.
Right, you look right in.
We look right here. I've got this little tiny burrito. We're making it. It's a tiny chalupa burrito.
Yeah, I'm going to make this Slim Jim. It's going to be actually salami on this sandwich. We're going to slice little.
In the tiny booth. Perfect.
I would argue, though, is it that much better when they make giant food, you know, like the world's longest sandwich, and then when they make giant popsicles and shit. Isn't it the same just
well,
the other way?
Well, people eat that, right?
Do they? I know they made a giant popsicle and just melted through the streets of New York.
Well, that upsets me, too. I get upset about upset about novelty large food unless it's like within reason. Like a Big Lou's Pizza, if you have enough people, everybody can eat Big Lou's Pizza. Right. It's tangible. But like if you had a burger of that size, to me, it's like less enjoyable because you get this giant novelty slice cake size of a burger. Burger's dry as fuck. And you're just like, it is upsetting. But a pizza, you can have like a giant slice of a pizza or whatever.
They did that mile-long pizza in New York for the record, for the Guinness World Record.
Yeah.
And it showed a bunch of people just going to town on this mile-long
pizza. I feel you can do that. Morimoto from Iron Chef, he did this long. I think he did a record-breaking sushi roll at the opening of one of his restaurants. And again, you can eat that because it's like soon as it's rolled, soon as all these people collectively rolled it and they start cutting it, everyone can eat it off the bat. Like I think like large novelty food needs to have that reasonability of being able
utilitarian.
To eat it.
Don't make it just to make it.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's like the world's largest bowl of like potato salad or something with like
nobody
sitting out in the sun. It's like, we got to eat this quick, guys.
Someone's got
it. We have the world's largest bowl of macaroni salad. I think that's even worse. Like, just like
bowl of tuna salad.
Yeah.
Guys, we got like a very small window.
We've got three giant bowls of these things here. Potato salad, tuna,
you just instantly, first bite, just instantly get sick because they're out in the sun. They're already dehydrated, too, waiting all this time for them to make all the chicken salad. These people picking out, trying to have celery to squish the water out of that to hydrate themselves. Well, anyways, favorite miniature.
Yeah. Right. What's your favorite miniature?
My favorite miniature thing actually goes back to something that I never collected enough to keep them. And if they did, they got thrown away. But I was a huge, huge, huge fan of Micro Machines.
Yeah.
Because they weren't just tiny little cars that rolled around. Like, again, going back to the whole miniature thing, these things had like intricate little detail. Mm-hmm. I loved Hot Wheels. I loved the car. You know, again, those are small cars and you look inside of it, they have this detail and the fact that they're die cast, like a little metal car. That was awesome. But I loved Micro Machines because of just how implausibly, like all the detail in there in these tiny, tiny little cars. Which is really, really cool. And the reason I gravitated toward those back in the day, not something like more recent, is that it's something I wish that was, I don't know if they still make those kind of things.
I was going to ask, is that still a thing?
I don't know. But I think that thing, you think so?
They had a Micro Machines like video game come out a couple years ago. It was really bad.
Oh, like a revival one? Yeah.
I don't know.
But I love the detail. I think that's what I like about miniature stuff is like when they make the tiny versions of them. Again, I guess I can see the appeal of the miniature food thing is because it looks like a tiny dumpling. But you know, the car, like I see the little, the seats and everything in there. It's like really, really awesome. So those things I thought were really cool. And I don't even collect those. I have a lot of little miniature shit. I love Amiibo stuff, which aren't quite miniature, but those are smaller versions. Some of those are smaller builds of bigger toys they've already made. Now they made them smaller and the detail of them is really, really cool. So that's what I like about it. But Micro Machines, those were really, really fucking cool, how small they were. So favorite miniatures, gentlemen?
You know, that's an awesome question because I was thinking about it right now. The first thing that comes to mind when I was a kid, I was a huge fan of the Mighty Max toy series.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a step up, I think, from like a Micro Machines thing because
it's a little bit bigger, right?
No, it was pocket size. That's what they were small because they were playing off the Polly Pockets at the time.
Exactly.
So it was this micro, and I have a picture right here. It's a micro set that was the size of your pocket.
Oh,
and these tiny little characters that you could play around in this way. So I had the skull with like the Frankenstein monster, and they were really intricate.
Those are cool.
In the sense that they were the size of your palm, practically, and inside they had revolving doors and traps that would spin open and all kinds of stuff. And I was so upset. I used to carry my Mighty Max in my pocket and be like, I'm a cool kid. And I couldn't sit on it because I'd just crack. And I was like, no,
the little pieces again there. Max. And you're a Mighty Max, Mighty Max. Yeah, that was the song I remember.
So, that was my favorite toy when I was growing up. I'm sure I still have it in storage somewhere. I'm sure I lost Mighty Max to the carpet somewhere in my old house. But the skull still exists.
Oh, the actual skull case still exists.
So, those are my favorite miniatures. Because, again, going back to toys, that phase of tiny toys, Micro Machines, and Mighty Max, and Polly Pockets, and trying to make things smaller for kids to carry around and trade at school because it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Discontinue because kids swallow them. Or really because their parents step on them. It's just another thing for parents to step on miniature die-cast shit to hurt yourself on. So, yeah. That's beautiful. Mighty Max.
My initial answer was Micro Machines. I did collect those when I was a kid.
Okay, awesome.
I actually had a bunch of them. And it was one of those things where I guess it also helped that like they made like 65 Camaro, you know, like 68 Camaro. And so it was a thing where even my old man was like, oh, that looks really good for a blank, like for a 57 Chevy. Like that's a nice looking little mini 57 Chevy. So it was a toy, but at the same time, it was like as my adult male father, as far as my female father,
right.
As my old man could be like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, that's a nice looking 67 Corvette Stingray, you know, it's just a mini version of it.
Right.
So it is something relatable for both the kid and the parent, which is good. And then I went through a bunch of lists because you open it up to everything else. And I was like, I don't like any sort of poodle or miniature, any dog. I don't think any animal that's miniaturized. They're aberrations of God. They shouldn't exist.
Yeah, it's true. They are. They're adorable, but they'll probably have tortured lives.
And then, you can see in their eyes, they want to die.
Like, I love little Bub. But that poor thing.
Oh my God.
That poor thing is. It wants to die. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he wants to die.
Please.
You can see it in his eyes.
I created, dear God?
Yeah.
Put me down now, please.
He's a miracle cat. No, he wishes you didn't do this to him.
And then most mini foods, like, I don't like because it's not good enough. Like, it's not big enough. I like to eat a lot. And a mini pizza just ain't going to cut it.
Yeah.
A mini cupcake.
What's a mini pizza? Like a personal or like a bagel bite mini pizza?
Okay, well, both. Both aren't going to cut it for me. Except mini tacos. But only because there's never a mini taco. Like whenever you order mini tacos, it usually comes in like three or four.
Right.
Yeah. You're not just getting one because then I'd hate mini tacos.
Go to Costco. They have frozen, like a whole big thing of frozen, just mini tacos. You can have like 20 at a time.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So any of the like taco trucks or even any of your local Jaliscos, you order mini tacos. It comes in a set of four and they usually load them up. And they're like,
and it comes with beans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, it's great. Yeah. It's really, really good. So it's one of the few things where if I'm ordering it, it's worth it for me as opposed to any other mini food item to which I'll take a pass on. Cause it won't fill me up.
I will say mini M&Ms though.
Okay.
As far as food goes, there's nothing like the sensation of like having 50 of them in your mouth and slowly turning them into chocolate sludge.
Mini chocolate chips. Like when you're baking and stuff like that, you put them in your pancakes, just a handful in your mouth.
I don't like mini Oreos. I'd rather have a regular Oreo.
Oh, no, that needs to be
like mini chips. Ahoy. Just give me a regular chips. Ahoy. Or even a large one. I'll take a double stuff. Like I want a bigger than normal. Yeah, I guess what other mini candy is there then?
Well, all mini candy to me is originally made. Its thing is made for, I've always thought, as a baking thing to put in cookies. Right. But then they're like, oh, sell them as mini candies because someone's going to want to eat them because they are good. I like mini Reese's peanut butter cups.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, fun size, I guess. Any of the little fun size. No, but like Kit Kats.
Now we're going. No. I'm talking about
the mini bites. The mini bites. The mini bites.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're just dedicated.
Those little ones. Yeah, like, I don't think I've ever had those unless like it was at like at a.
Yes. Yeah.
Like Cruncher Bunch. It was like little dollops of Cruncher Bunch that you can get in the
movie theater. They don't all melt together. How do they not? I don't.
Well, yeah. If you, if I mean, if you, yeah. If you have them in the hot sun, of course it's going to be a. It's a bag of. It's a miniature squeeze bag of chocolate peanut butter.
FYI, if there's any sort of chocolate near me, it will melt. Like, there's one time I snuck in some candy to a movie theater, and it was in my pocket, and just the chocolate being in my pocket sitting down in a movie theater, it was, like, melted by the freaking opening credits. So I guess I just I relate any sort of chocolate melts to me. So.
But it's a squeeze bag. That's when it turns into, like, a tube of toothpaste, but it's a chocolate.
It's just an icing.
It's like a Go-Gurt
like it's an ice cream, whatever.
It's a push a pop of chocolate. A Go-Gurt.
Yes, we're just turning into a Go-Gurt.
Oh, Reese's taste great.
I will round out the toys. I will also say I'm a poser. I realize I came up with my answer, and I realize I'm a poser. This goes back to what I was saying about Tony Hawk. I was most upset about Tony Hawk being at the premiere, and it's super dickish of me because I've never skateboarded in my life. My parents bought me a rocket power skateboard when I was like 10 years old, and I like rode it and like, I might get hurt.
This is stupid.
And it's hanging in my garage now to this day.
I think I know where this is going.
But I love the Tony Hawk games. I will own everyone at any of those. I am amazing at it. That's the only thing I'm good at. And and I love tech decks.
I thought about those.
I had a ton of those. And I'm so good at skateboarding with my fingers.
I remember that in school, people were like, bro, where's your tech deck? I'm sorry, I'm not stupid. I don't want a tech deck. I really can't do this. I can't do a 180 nose flip with my fucking fingers. I'm sorry. Good Lord.
How many of those did you have?
Yeah,
I just had it was like a car. It was a box. You get a set of like Tony's ramp, you know.
Oh, shit.
I had a ramp set. I had pretty much all of it. And I probably by the end, before they started all breaking, I had like 20 different ones.
Nice.
And yeah, because they had the ones that with your finger. They also had the bigger ones that you use your hand crazy. And then they had the ones with the little, they started capitalizing on the fact on the fingers. So they had ones with these little finger. It was like you take a finger off and then this is the figure that's on the board.
Yeah. Oh, and there was a finger on them.
Yeah.
And like a plastic toy finger.
It was like magnetic to the board and you're like, I'm almost a little skateboarding finger. I don't know. But I had a lot of it. I didn't care. I didn't discern any of that.
That's a whole nother level of what?
And the finger was usually dressed up in cool shades. And
Cypher tack, cool shades.
Yeah, 90 right. Guy Fieri hair.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Did it have a face on it? Or it was
yes.
Okay, so it had like a mouth
but
and nose.
But it still had a fingernail on the back.
Creepy.
So it was clearly a finger.
No, so not that the fingers have like, were they characters? So like this finger is like,
I got Tony. I got
one that was a sumo.
CM Punk finger.
Yeah, I had one that was 90s-ish and I had a sumo wrestler one. And so they were.
Wow.
Did you master tricks? Did you master any tricks?
Yeah, I was really good at doing flips by the end of it. I kind of was able
Please
to
tell
do
me there's video of that.
Look at the commercials.
No,
those are great.
I'm glad that was before cell phones were a thing. No, yeah.
For your parents to be like, do the trick again. Yeah. Sweetie, do the trick again.
It's Brennan's Christ, a finger Christ error.
I gave myself what do you call it?
Like, you got carpal tunnel.
Carpal tunnel.
Your career was over after the carpal tunnel. You can no longer tech
check your nose bone. Like my finger. Just like bent backwards.
Your career was cut short because of that.
I want to see if this. I was going to say this is as a joke, but maybe it's a real thing. If there's like competitions.
Absolutely.
And then doing the over the top movie, but of of like the over-the-top movie of Technics,
yeah.
towards this like international competition, and there's like the dude from Germany, and there's like this other guy. It's like, oh, there it comes, and then there's like the new guy.
But the new guy's being coached by like this classic tech decker who makes like red carpet appearances at movies. It's like the dude's finger.
But that's what I'm saying. But he went out of his whole career ended with carpal tunnel. He's like, yeah, my career ended too early.
Let us know.
You were the best. I was.
Let us know if you want us to make that movie in the comments.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, we just might have to make a 5-minute version of that movie. Starring Brandon as the main character. Because he's the pro.
You gotta build up montage too. You know what I'm saying? We're playing a classic 90s song in the back, and it's just you trying to get angry, like, oh, I can't do the flip. You flip like a mini table. God damn it.
Lords of Palm Town.
Yeah.
Wow. There it is.
Now I'd buy that.
All right, miniatures. Let's go to the Facebooks. Anyone says fucking miniature cooking, just prepare to fill my wrath, you fuck.
All right, settle down, Jess. All right, Berto Garcia, first off, Micro Machines.
Yeah.
Andrew Thomas, M&M Minis. They're like small M&Ms.
Yeah. Okay. There's also good to have, because they're better, M&Ms will be forever better than Sixlets, in my opinion, so it's good to have miniature M&Ms, which is like...
Here's the thing, though. Sensation. I like Sixlets.
Sixlets.
Because I don't like chocolate that much. That's why I don't really. And it's fake chocolate, essentially.
Yeah, no, it's powder. It's a powder dough.
So I like the fakey chocolatiness.
All right.
Kylie Gogo says miniature schnauzers. No, not at all. They're not supposed to exist.
No, small wiener dogs. They have like a lifespan of 2 years. They're adorable for 2 years until they die because they can't grow anymore. Their skin,
their body's growing too fast.
Their organs are growing too bad for their small skeleton to hold, and they internally bleed. The poor
they're
creatures.
Not supposed to exist.
They're gonna pop.
They literally pop.
Gloria Rankin says miniature Reese's.
Okay, yeah.
Greg Forrest says Martin Scorsese.
All right. Miniature Martin Scorsese.
Ross Carter says teacup pigs.
Yes. But again, but those grow though.
Yeah.
I just found that out. So I always thought the teacup pigs
stay that tiny,
really? But there was like this viral video of this pig. It was an internet famous pig called Hamlet, of course. Naturally. And there's this, you know, viral video of it jumping down the stairs, really cute. And then I just saw a video. It was like, oh, Hamlet taking a bath. And it's a fucking pig. It's not a teacup pig. It's a pig. And it's like, you know, so, okay, cool. It grows.
One day it'll make good eating.
It will. Yeah, exactly.
Janie Matisek says D&D minis. You can never have too many mini figurines. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
there's some pretty sweet ones
out
there.
Those are awesome ones, actually.
Like a Warhammer or whatever. Like little robot. Those
I just got
cool.
a custom set. You can go to a website. HeroForge.com and create your own custom using 3D printers.
I was going to say, now you can do that.
Really? They give you this amazing preset scales that you can move back and forth.
So you can create your that's
cool.
That's nice.
It's great.
Pretty sweet.
James Wells says, well, now it's the little mini avocados in that picture.
Don't do it, James Wells. Just eat normal food, dude. Don't fucking fall for it. Don't fall for the hype.
Zachary Fortes Gum says, one bite brownies. It makes gorging yourself way more efficient.
Oh, man.
See, I was going to say, that was my question was, because I love, donut holes, but they're not mini donuts. Because the miniature donuts would just be a small donut.
Well, there's a video, of course, of Zachary making
mini donuts. Yeah.
You want to see me get pissed off. He puts in this tiny Krispy Kreme bag, the fucking idiot. It's a tiny bag. Who's going to eat it?
Yeah. Carlos Castro says microaggressions. Like, you speak so well, or I don't even hear an accent, or you're one of the good ones.
Oh, no.
That's great. Athena Bryant Wood says, I'm with Andrew in the mini M&Ms.
Yeah.
Brandy Dunnigan said Peter Dinklage.
He's a miniature, what is he? Miniature house. What's his name?
Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie. That's terrible. Ryan Timothy Bray says 2-bite brownies, baby, as opposed to the 1-bite brownies that Zachary said earlier. Joshua Pullen says veal. That's his favorite mini. Here we go. Alex Ansel, Kool-Aid says micro cupcakes piss me the F off. Agreed. See, I don't like mini food.
Yeah.
Give me normal damn cupcake.
Yeah.
Alfred Perez says the world's smallest Transformers. They're a blind box with chaser figures. The picture is the world's smallest Transformers.
Oh, yes. Those
pretty
are cool.
Sweet. Gabriel Diaz says mini sliders, mini horse, mini house, and mini mouse. right.
Hey, Minnie Mouse. That's nice. Minnie Mouse. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Travis K says my Minnie Me is his daughter.
Oh, that counts.
Nah, she's going to grow up. That don't count. Oh, or he says, or a Chop House Cheddar Junior Burger from Whataburger. Ooh.
That's a good
so a junior burger. You can get that? A Chop House Cheddar Junior Burger?
What have I been doing to my body? I could have just been.
Well, once again, I don't want the junior version. I'm just surprised for anybody else that wanted a smaller version of it.
So you can get like a junior A1 thick and hearty?
Right? Why not though?
A1 small and hearty?
Yeah. You just can't get anything on Texas Toast because they don't make a small version of Texas Toast.
No, it's just toast.
There's no such thing as small Texas Toast. That's
it's just toast.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Oh, damn. Travis, okay. Ooh, what am I talking about? I'm never going to get a junior burger. And Ryan Timothy Bryce also says Paul Rudd as for Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Yes. There you go.
I don't know why my brain, I thought he said Paul Reiser. And for whatever reason, I just like, no, I mean, should I say, guess Paul Reiser's small.
Friggin' Randy Quaid, Dennis Quaid. Interspace.
Yeah.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Is that Dennis Quaid?
That's Dennis Quaid. Yes, Dennis Quaid. That's Dennis Quaid. Oh, yes. Wonderful.
Tiny Dennis Quaid. That is fun, actually.
So there it is. Favorite miniatures inspired by the mini Nintendo Entertainment System. It's $60 and it should come out in November. It hooks up with one HDMI cable. It has little Nintendo controllers. And it's two-player, too. That's the other thing, too, is that it does support two-player. So if you want to get down on Double Dragon 2 and you can kick your friend off the helicopter on the next to the last stage and just fucking watch the fights ensue, or like that stage in Super C where you're going up and then the person
left
behind.
Jumping too high,
oh,
you die.
Man, dude. You
slow down, man.
No, you're not. Keep up with me. And it just turned into this contest.
You have two older brothers. That happens a lot.
Man, just total dickery. So, yeah, the miniature Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah, I'm going to look into that. All right, so Brian, filling in for Larry, what do you have for us today?
Today we're going to talk about Saturday mornings.
Saturday mornings.
I grew up, and sadly, Saturday morning cartoons are no longer around.
No, they're not.
It's infomercials now.
It's sad. My question is, what was your common Saturday morning ritual and or favorite cartoon to watch? Yeah. Everyone grew up with some kind of ritual of some sort.
Yeah.
I know I did. My poor mother, God bless her soul, she had to wake up at 6 a.m. to wake me up, you know what I'm saying, to get me to and turn on the TV and sit me down. She's like, oh yeah, mijo, enjoy cartoons, and then go right back to sleep while I sat there for the next.
Wow. So you didn't internally...
No, it didn't. Okay. My mom was, because, you know, she was really wanting, she knew I loved it, and I always had trouble waking up. So my mother would wake up and then wake me up, and then she would go back to sleep for the next couple of hours after that while I sat and had cereal and watched my, Saturday morning cartoons. And so it was a beautiful ritual, like anything else. You know, I'd wake up and I'd always have my special cereal at the time. You know, at the time, my favorite was the real Ghostbuster cereal with the ghost marshmallows and the no ghost marshmallows. And so those were really great to plop down, watch that. And again, I was transitioning between, like 1989 to 1993 was that chunk where we got the end of the Ghostbusters, Ninja Turtles. I was kind of in the syndication of that. And then I got all the cool stuff that I really enjoyed for coming out from Disney and from Fox. And ABC had their stuff. So everyone had like the Darkwing Duck, the Garfield and Friends, that kind of stuff. But then I also had like the Tick.
Those
great shows out of Fox. And so it was like this prime time that was it Tailspin.
Mm-hmm.
That was also another one of my favorites.
Well, all those shows were after school shows that were transitioning to Saturday morning.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought they started as Saturday mornings and then transitioned to after school.
Some of them are. Darkwing Duck was an after school one for sure, because I remember seeing that and Tailspin, but I definitely liked that transition of them swapping around and like, you know. Yeah, I remember that.
So the question is, what is your favorite cartoon and / ritual for Saturday mornings?
That's awesome. So your ritual, you were waking up, you served your own breakfast and cereal?
My mom had it set for me sometimes, and so I would pour it myself, feel like a big kid, feel important about myself.
Yeah.
Plop down, and then I had memorized the schedule of what was coming out on what channel, because it was always between CBS, ABC, and Fox, and I knew who was playing what. Like, okay, over here they're playing this show, and then I'd flip over real quick to the next one, or I'd get it in between commercials, you know? So I had this regimen of I knew exactly what to watch every morning, and by the time that 11 o'clock hit, or 10 o'clock, I think, is when they started getting the weird, like, preteen teen programs, and I started getting real sad. I was like, no! but, like, it was tough, because being in Brownsville, also, we didn't get all the cool programming that, like, everyone else got. So one of the biggest shows that I missed, for me personally, was Where's Waldo? I don't know why I really wanted to see that. And then Back to the Future cartoon.
I barely remember that.
We didn't get them in Brownsville for whatever reason. Like the affiliates didn't pick it up, so we missed out a lot of those cartoons. But man, I had my thing. I was ready to go. Sometimes I had my toy, the cartoon that I was watching. I was always excited and like, let's do this, you know. And then my real Ghostbusters cereal, and I would watch everything G.I. Joe's, all the syndicated stuff, followed by all the new stuff that Fox was putting out in the early 90s, which was awesome.
Wait, so what was your favorite cartoon though?
Naturally, it was the real Ghostbusters.
Okay, right on.
Right. That was, I mean, because again, I was catching it in syndication because that's what it was. Yeah. Uh-huh. And newer episodes. So I kind of started hitting sadly, it was the Slimer and the real Ghostbusters when they switched over.
Yeah.
But of course, they were naturally playing the other stuff too. Right. So that was me, you know. So it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Transformers, and those were still playing. So, but the core one that I remember most was the real Ghostbusters. Waking up every day and seeing my four favorite Busters take on something new. You know what I'm saying? Like Sandman or the Boogeyman or something creepy like that. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
So that was my ultimate pinnacle show. And then I think, honestly, after that, it'd have to be The Tick.
Wow.
For me, The Tick was just
like something. To have something new come out that was outside of the norm, for sure. Yeah. Like, it totally was just different. Like, it was just, again, like the source material, like it's something transitioning to something that, not necessarily The Tick is for adults or something like that, but just something that's just not for kids. Yeah, like, but not like again, not because it's dirty, but just because it's, why would a kid like this and get this weird
abstract humor.
And the time we're changing in the 90s where, like, thanks to, and I give a lot of credit to Batman the Animated Series, which taught audiences, hey, it's okay to get kind of dark for kids. So you ended up with satirical stuff like The Tick, or in the very later of the years, they weren't afraid to do things like The Extreme Ghostbusters, which was a very dark series if you look at it now, which, by the way, I just found out it's on Hulu, so anyone interested in watching, you can watch it on Hulu.
Or I said before, cartoons to give it, where they gave them story arcs as opposed to where every episode was every episode of old school cartoons were like an adventure. Every episode was an unconnected adventure. But because, again, going back to like Batman Animated Series, is like, children or kids or maybe even like young teens can digest arcs, you know, they can digest evolving characters and they can digest actual shows that kind of
storylines.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's actually a cool, I didn't even really think about other shows that followed suit.
Yeah. And it was like, cause they made just a bold statement by saying this is for kids and for your adults.
Yeah.
And so that's why we started seeing that wave.
Or even
again,
like the X-Men cartoon having an arc, having a story.
I mean, that first episode, spoiler, I guess. Morph just dies in that first episode. And like, that was the most like intense way to start an entire series. Yeah. For kids. Yeah. So I was like, all right, cool.
My Saturday morning, I think I may have talked about this before. My Saturday morning ritual started Friday night. Because most Friday nights with my family would be movie and pizza night. So it would always be like, go to Blockbuster or Hollywood Video or whatever, and rent a couple movies and get Little Caesar's Pizza, where it was the big rectangle thing with the two square pizzas in them and the weird giant paper bag thing that I loved. And so we'd always do that. So we'd rent a couple movies, get a couple pizzas, sit down as family. We'd watch movies, eat pizza. But I would always sneak at least like two of those little square slices, like almost right off the bat, and put them in a little bit of foil and put them in the fridge almost immediately for Saturday morning.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it was always, my ritual was wake up and I'm thinking it's very nice of your mom to wake you up, because I know my parents were like, oh, we're sleeping. We're sleeping, and screw you guys.
You know what? I need to ask her why.
Like, that's super nice. That's really nice.
It's I just remember my mother waking me up and then going back to sleep. I think she wanted to make sure that I was awake because I had a lot of trouble sleeping.
Maybe, so. No, not only that, but I can see like just waking up and going, okay, you're good for the next few hours because I know you're going
to
be watching
Mama's
this.
Mama's going back to sleep now. I'm going to go back to sleep. Push the coffee button when it's done.
So I'd wake up and I'd go to, you know, wake up rituals, get a couple slices of pizza, put in the microwave like an adult, pour a little glass of OJ for some orange juice because it's breakfast.
Orange juice and pizza. You're
damn straight. It's breakfast.
That's heartburn. That's heartburn central. Oh, man.
I guess that's how I grew up, now that I can eat anything.
My esophagus is like tearing up right now. I just feel it.
Wow. Okay. Maybe I was just prepping myself for years later. Fast forward, I can eat anything now. I don't ever have heartburn.
Of steel.
And OJ, I guess it's weird. OJ and pizza on the Saturday mornings. And, awesome, and yeah, I'd sit down and I guess my brothers, they wanted to sleep in. So they'd sleep in and I'd be the only person, I'd be up by myself watching Saturday morning cartoons. And my favorite by far, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Excellent choice.
I was obsessed with it. There's no other way to say it. I was obsessed with it. I had to buy all the toys. I had the giant box that opened up with Ninja Turtles on them. I was all about Ninja Turtles, Ninja Turtles, Ninja Turtles, Ninja Turtles. And it's so weird that I guess it's interesting just like these days, like everything, even sort of, I was talking about with the Pokemon thing as there's still Ninja Turtles now. Like there's still kids dressing up as Ninja Turtles. Yeah. It's still the movies are coming out again. In addition to animated movies, in addition to like all this other stuff, it's still just so prevalent.
The toys are still in the aisles.
Yeah, exactly.
That tripped me out. I looked down an aisle and I saw Ghostbusters, two Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, what's happening?
Yeah. And it's weird because I know that, not that I like the new movies, but like the other, some of the animated movies and just some of the cartoons now that are still out are good and it's fun and it looks enjoyable. So it's kind of cool that I'm not like, why are they ruining my child? It's like, it's just neat that it's still around.
Right.
And so that's what I was explaining to like my older brothers and parents about the whole Pokemon thing is that I've been working in high schools for almost 10 years now. And when I first got into high schools, my students liked Pokemon because this was like, it was right around when like Blue and Art, you know, the other Pokemon on the Nintendo,
Game Boy Advance
ones were coming out and they were all about it.
Right.
And so now in my summer program, we have our old students come and work for us over the summer. And so we have these older students who are just as into it now.
Wow.
And so it's weird to see like, my parents were just like, why are so many people? My brothers were like, why are so many people playing this? I was like, well, for 20 years now, like Pokemon, there's a ton of people who love Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And so now it's the thing where just like Ninja Turtles, just like Ghostbusters, because it was really cool watching the Ghostbusters movie today, hearing the little kids behind me sing the Ghostbusters song.
Oh, dude.
You know, like, and I'm like, wait, how do you guys know that song? But they're singing it, so it's just kind of a cool thing. I don't know. It's just – it's kind of fascinating.
All right. It's because all of us who grew up on Ghostbusters are like now in our 30s, 30-plus-year-olds. And now those people are all working in the industry. It makes sense. They're like, I want what I had for my kids, Ghostbusters, Ninja Turtles, G.I. Joes. Let's get all back in here. So that's crazy.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's my go-to cartoon.
It's an OJ.
Yeah. It's an OJ.
Yeah, the ritual for me was weird because I actually woke up on my own. My own internal clock woke me up.
I'm a terrible person.
No, not at all. It's very bizarre.
I'm so sorry. Please, mother, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that to you.
It'll be interesting to ask her and find out like if she was like, no,
Maybe it was because it's to keep the routine. Like you have to wake up because of the school thing. I'm waking up early for school, you think it's just like a regimen going.
It's like a babysitter for a few hours. TV, take care of them. I'm going back to sleep.
Mama's going back to sleep.
But I did wake up. I had this internal clock that woke up to where it was like 5:45 and the station still had the off the air thing off.
Yes, Jess, so, this was in the early 60s.
Yes, this was like when it was that black and white Indian with the big TV test pattern.
Was it followed by the American flag right afterwards?
Yes, exactly. They started with national anthem. They didn't just end with it. They started with it. There was no such thing as color bars because the TV was fucking black and white.
I had a black and white TV growing up too, but I didn't know TV was in color for several years.
Nice. That's hilarious.
Because my mom bought me. I was a kid. I was tiny, and my mom just bought me a TV from a garage sale that was like 12 inches. It was black and white. I had no idea TV was in color. And then I used to watch Nick at Night, so I had no idea that TV was in color. And then one day we walked, I was like, they made color TV. What an invention, mother.
Yeah. We're in the future.
Are we landing on the moon? What's happening?
Yeah, so shortly after JFK was assassinated on that sorrowful day, I was still awake. Now, 5:45 in the morning, just internal clock waking up, excited to see all these different cartoons. Dating myself, it would be actually a block of video game inspired cartoons. So there was a Pac-Man cartoon. There was a Donkey Kong cartoon. Whoa. There was all these like when
Captain Power?
No, wait. Nintendo. That came out just a little bit later.
Captain N.
The Game Master. Captain so this leads me to my extra thing is that I would wake up early to watch those early ones. And as time had kind of moved on, my stepsisters would wake up a little bit later. And on the NBC affiliate, which would be KMOL back in the day, the thing that would start on that channel that was big was, I think, Captain N. But after that, there was one called, shit, man. It was on the tip of my tongue. It's called Kid Video.
Oh, yeah.
So Kid Video was kind of like a kids MTV thing where it had this animated 80s kids warp to this fucking magic 80s music land. And they'd have these intermissions where they would play full-blown 80s songs, and they had a story and fucking everything. Now here's the thing, I fucking hated it. But it was that time. That's I think why I had the internal clock to where I can get all the cartoons on my own, get my own jam in before they turn that horse shit on. And then that was like it would cap off before, I think after that they actually had some kind of weird like a music countdown show, but MTV was a thing, but I think they actually had its own like a video deal. Now the cool thing was, is my brother and sister getting older, the cartoons that I liked were still again relevant. So going back to my favorite is also Ninja Turtles. Like I was getting down on that, but it did that whole season swap where the opening animation was different, and they kind of just I rebooted the whole animation team. You can tell they restarted it. My brother was into that, getting into that, and all those, again, the syndication shows, the after school shows were slipping into the Saturday morning cartoons. And even though I was like past watching cartoons, I still actively watched that whole generation of Saturday morning cartoons all the way up until the Max and all that stuff you mentioned. It's like I watched all that stuff because I was actively wanting to see that evolution of the Saturday morning cartoons dwindle too. Start to get to that point to where they ended sooner. So the cartoons we used to go to like 11 a.m. Well, then they started ending at 10 and then 9 and then 8, and like it just kind of eventually disappeared. My favorite thing actually going beyond cartoons was the early Fox affiliate. After the cartoons at 11 a.m., like right when 11 a.m. start, they had a Kung Fu theater. So that was actually my favorite thing about Saturday morning, is watching all the cartoons and then getting to watch this Kung Fu theater. Was sometimes they would actually play like monster movies. They would play like Godzilla movies or Gamera, those type of things. Nice. It was like this very...
That's awesome.
Like, it was really awesome. But cartoon-wise, hardcore was Ninja Turtles. But the ritual is that internal clock waking up, and we've talked about this before, is where I made the well-balanced breakfast, the fully well-balanced breakfast that we've argued about, that is
the complete balanced breakfast.
The complete balanced breakfast, which is the bowl of cereal, the toast, the orange juice, and you get and then maybe an egg, you know, or whatever.
The special days.
Yeah, they had this part of the complete balanced breakfast. Well, I want the complete balanced breakfast, so that was part of the ritual too sometimes, if I was so inclined. So, there you go. Dating myself. The day the Challenger exploded, that's not even a joke. That's a real thing.
Oh, God. All right. Well, I'm going to put blinders of, being made fun of for being so young on.
First, how dare you be young?
How dare you?
I love it.
No. It's I didn't really have I guess it wasn't really ritualistic. I would get up most of the time, but it wasn't I needed to get up. I guess it was just I don't feel like watching. Sure, I'll get up. I like sleeping. And also wasn't a big breakfast eater as a kid. I have recently within the past like 2 years trained myself that eating breakfast is good. So
is it though? Is that still scientifically proven?
It's really good at 11 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Eating breakfast at 11 is fantastic.
Yeah.
The only breakfast I would have I had the two cereals that I remember, especially of the time that I love, were S'more cereal. Ooh. That was around. The chocolate and graham cracker. And then it had Oreo O's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oreo. I totally forgot about.
It's like a straight up bowl of Oreos.
Yeah.
Mini no, Oreos.
Like, yeah. Those sound like, yeah, that's terrible. Like, who would make that?
You could just dump Oreos in milk and just leave them there.
It was not healthy at all. I forgot about them completely until I got Nickelodeon Magazine for a long time. And I was looking through them. I found them in my closet. And I was looking through it. I was like, oh, Oreo. Oh, shit. This is the most, like, 2000s thing, like, ever. Like, early 2000. But as far as cartoons go, WB. Mostly.
You had the
WB. I was going to say, yeah.
All the way. And I think there was some Fox, some Nickelodeon stuff too, like Rocket Power and like I said.
Because that's where they started shifting to when there was
That's when you develop a Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
When
Cartoon Network is like, oh, this is the place where I have to watch my cartoons because the other channels didn't make the bucks for it really. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the thing is that the networks, I guess, just cut their funding because I don't know.
I'm sure it comes down to money.
Where does it come down to money? Where is
an infomercial is going
to
make you more money because they're paying for that ad, that entire block of ad time than a couple of commercials for a kid's
versus
show.
Spending a lot of money to pay people to draw something and produce and everything. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, WB mostly. I think that was the one I stuck to again. Just like I didn't know a lot of the ones you were saying. I don't know. Shaolin Showdown. Jackie Chan Adventures.
Oh my god.
What are you, 12? Holy man.
Static Shock. Static Shock was really good.
It connected well with the rest of the DC universe. Right. So they did a good job on that.
Static
show,
Shock.
And then Pokemon, obviously. But my favorite, and this goes back, I'm a fucking poser.
Tony Hawk and a cartoon.
You're still with your tech deck watching.
I'm a skateboarder, guys. No, Yu-Gi-Oh. I loved, and I like Pokemon. They're similar to me, I guess, around the same time. But Yu-Gi-Oh, I guess, was more edgy and had spiky hair, and it was dramatic, and we could go to the Shadow Realm and die, which didn't really.
Well, no, you get it's pocket monsters versus fucking demons. Yeah. That's really what
that's the card with a dragon in it.
Yeah, that's a difference. You have a little yellow puff thing that goes, fucking beast dragon, right?
So I say I'm a poser because, again, I was like, man, this is so cool. This is such a cool game. They sell it for real. I'm gonna be a Yu-Gi-Oh master. I bought probably at least $150 on different cards.
Your parents spent
exactly.
Not my money. I played one game with a friend. I was like, this is hard. There's a lot to remember. And so all the cards are sitting in my closet. I get them because, you know, the artwork was cool. I would, like, drag them down, like, oh, this one's just pretty. And, and that was my extent. But, yeah, I like Yu-Gi-Oh! A lot. And so I love an extension of that. I love Yu-Gi-Oh! Abridged. If anyone watches that, it's because it was a ridiculous show. It was just typical anime over the top for kids.
Right.
Nothing made sense. They make fun of it just like Dragon Ball Z and stuff like that now with the Abridged YouTube series, and it's just so silly, and that was my jam back then.
Funny. Well, also they had the cards. Like, does Yu-Gi-Oh play to where you actually lose the cards? You lose a match, you forfeit cards. You lose. Does it work like that a little bit?
Or do
he played one game?
Yeah. That would be the fear to me. Like, oh god damn it! Like, I got
the cards. It's like racing for your slips.
Racing. Yeah, exactly.
We're racing for slips.
The kid was like, you gonna give me one of your cards now? Like,
maybe they're just being bullying you. Like, yeah, I'm there. Give us one of your cards.
We're like in a Chick-fil-A or something.
The battleground of you. The Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, the arena is what it's called.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna go home. But and it's fun. I still play just for nostalgia. They have all the games. I had a bunch of Game Boy Advance games, and they're fun.
Well, no, but don't be fooled that I'm a poser, because I've talked about this before. I fucking love Pokemon. I have never played one single fucking Pokemon game ever. The only Pokemon game I've played is Pokemon Shuffle, which is like Candy Crush with Pokemon. Yeah. I love the fuck out of it. I'll play the fuck out of Pokemon Shuffle. And I'm like, but I know the Pokemon characters because I like the cartoon.
Right.
And I like I was an anime fan, so I was just excited to see. I didn't care what it was. I was like, oh, it's an anime show on TV. That's great. I'm going to watch it. you know, and I'm like, oh, it's for fucking kids and they're selling cards and shit. Yeah. I was like, I don't care. I want to know what a goddamn, you know, Meowth is or whatever. It's like,
My obsession wasn't huge, but like it, you know, I still got a little bit, I think I kind of, my parents kind of headed it off where my worst thing that I bought was this statue of this Jesus card, basically this giant blue demon, Obelisk the Tormentor, if anyone is interested.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'm going, and it was this giant blue like statue of it. And I just saw like my parents like, what the fuck?
So a statue of the character, not a big card.
For a second, I thought it was just a giant card. No, no, no. It was just this giant, terrible plastic blue demon thing. And my parents were just like, you're going to grow out of this, please.
But you see the difference? You get this fat, sleeping cat versus, what is it called?
Like, Obelisk, the Tormentor.
Are you serious? Tormentor. I want the Tormentor.
Yeah, that's metal.
Yeah, it's fucking metal. I didn't get it.
I didn't know that.
The other three cards that were similar, the god cards, were the Winged Dragon of Ra.
Yeah. Damn straight.
Yeah, damn straight.
All good metal songs.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And Slifer the Sky Dragon.
Progressive rock song, but still.
Yeah, but still, nonetheless, I saw them at Phil Anselmo's hardcore. Yeah,
exactly.
Hardcore
but nonetheless, show. Great guitarists in all of them.
Slifer had two mouths, though. So
damn straight. Well, that was the dual-headed guitar. Obelisk the Tormentor. It's a great song.
It's a dragon, great track. It's a dragon's face, and the two dicks are the horns.
Damn straight.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Dude, Yu-Gi-Oh's metal.
One of the good things is if anyone who has kids or is an adult and wishes to partake in the Saturday morning ritual still, just a quick shout-out to the Nerd 411, because they put Saturday morning cartoon specials couple of months every year at the Draft House.
Oh, cool.
$5, all you can eat cereal.
Right on.
And they do like an hour and a half, 2 hour block of just all classic, ranging from the old 1980s stuff to the early, like late 90s stuff. And I've been to, so everyone out there, go with me. I'm trying to make a campaign. I want them to show an episode of Hammerman.
Oh God! I remember those ABC promos of Hammerman, and they're pushing the hell out. Good Lord, were they trying to push the hell out of Hammerman?
Yeah, no, no. I was not going to watch Hammerman.
What was the one that had Wayne Gretzky? What was the one that had
All Star Pros?
Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Bo Jackson.
Yeah, I remember because Bo Jackson would like lift a tree trunk. And
it was Bo Jackson. Jesus, he could do that in real life.
So that's a great way to re-experience your childhood, or if you have kids, take your kids. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It really is a lot of fun.
WWF Wrestling Buddies. What was the name of the show?
I don't know. I don't know the WWF show.
Yeah, loved it.
Superstar. It was just WWF Superstars.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Facebook answers. What is your favorite morning cartoon or Saturday morning ritual? Berto Garcia says, eating cereal and watching all three major network cartoons. However, I really look forward to the claymation vignettes that would sing after these messages.
I had to sing it like that.
Yeah. Diamond Mason says, the first that came to mind were Johnny Bravo and Animaniacs. Nice. So this is, I wake up hella early, like 87 bowls of cereal, or as close to 87 as before we ran out of milk or my mom woke up. And pretty much just enjoy the fact that I was the only one up. See, that was kind of cool.
I wasn't allowed to watch Johnny Bravo.
Too risque.
It was too risque. My parents said, this is a sexual creature and you're not allowed to see him.
He's the Elvis of your time.
Obelisk
the Tormentor.
Andrew Thomas says, it was all about that Digimon.
Yeah.
Eat bacon, watch Digimon, sing along.
Yeah, you'll fuck around with Digimon. Yeah, all right.
I don't want to put down Digimon.
That's, yeah, man.
I just heard the opening song to the first time.
They had like three Digimon movies. That's legit, man.
Digital monsters.
Yeah.
Digimon are the champions.
Wait for that metal album to come out.
Kylie GoGo says Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Codename Kid Next Door's Animaniacs and Freakazoid. Those are good.
Freakazoid, really ahead of its time.
Greg Forrest says, not a cartoon, but Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Pee-wee's Playhouse was pretty big.
Followed by Hey Vern, It's Ernest.
Comedy
Gold.
Oh, shit. Yes, he had his own show. That is right. He did have his own show.
We didn't get in Brownsville. I learned about it later and was disappointed we didn't get it.
Wow. And wrap your brain around that, like younger listeners, like the kids like to watch this old plumber. A guy with overalls and, hey, Vern, he was a country guy. And I don't even know what he did. He just was.
He's a yokel?
He's
a
yokel. He just did silly shit and went, ew. Like yeah. I mean,
he was silly.
He was silly. He was awesome. I'll watch it.
God,
Ernest
God
movie.
Rest his soul.
Yeah, God rest his soul.
Ross Carter says, woke up at 5:45 in the morning.
Damn.
Poured a bowl of Cheerios, dumped on the sugar, caught the last 10 minutes of Brady Bunch reruns. Then Street Sharks at 6.
Yeah.
Street Sharks.
Oh, that's
that fucking was like around the same time, like Biker Mice from Mars.
Yeah, because he had to really jump on that whole like anthropomorphic, like radical anthropomorphic animals.
The cats?
Yeah.
The cats that flew like wild airplanes. Cats? Was it Wildcats?
Was it Wildcats?
I don't know.
Wild ones? No. It was these cats and they had like
Thundercats?
No, not Thundercats.
I think it was Wildcats.
I don't know. There's cats that like flew
planes.
They would
fly a jet plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's all pales in comparison to fucking Samurai Pizza Cats, so.
Oh, God. Gargoyles. I remember
Gargoyles. Gargoyles is fucking
solid.
Oh,
that's what James Wells says. Gargoyles and Darkwing Duck.
Solid. Yep, solid. Yeah, Disney block.
Janie Matisek says, every Saturday morning would watch the kids' WB lineup. Remember Jackie Chan Adventures, Yu-Gi-Oh, and Pokemon were the big ones that I'd watch. I'd always watch it upstairs quietly so my parents didn't know I was awake. Wow, so watching it quietly.
Secretly.
Yeah, because Obelisk the Tormentor.
Yeah, man.
The demon cartoons.
Just
quiet screaming in pain from the corner of the house.
But it's funny because it's in the cartoons essentially about kids having adventures, and they summon that.
Yeah, exactly.
I summon upon you the Tormentor. Like, shit.
Drax the Apocalypse.
To make it, his attack was he would like have a big punch. This thing is like 1,000 feet tall, and he would punch like, you know, it's holograms, but they're still punching, and they animated them like they were in pain, even though it was a hologram. So it's like, is this thing like actually hurting this person?
These are demons.
I never knew for sure. Like, you just kind of thought that they were.
Yeah. After every battle, pieces of their soul were shaved off. That's the equivalent exchange.
It feels like Hellraiser cartoon for children.
Rewatch those and be like, oh damn, this is metal.
Yeah, this is brutal.
Zachary Fortes Gom says Dexter's Lab was the best.
Yeah. Yes.
Carlos Castro says there's 8 of us in a small 2-bedroom apartment. I grabbed a blanket and sat really close to the TV so I would not wake up the people sleeping in the living room. The Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3 and Captain N was my jam as I ate government food bank cereal. Ooh, Carlos, growing up hard, man. Wow. I'm surprised you had a TV, Carlos. Seriously. I didn't know that.
He wasn't watching cartoons. It was a cardboard box with a drawing on it. It was the box of cereal that they were looking at.
Yeah. He was looking with the hologram. He would just shift.
Yeah, and he was shifted. And that was what he was watching. He was watching fucking Nintendo. Yeah. It was Super Mario Brothers cereal he was watching.
Yeah. It's a me.
It's just really sad. It's a me.
Theda Bryant Wood says Ghostbusters.
Yay!
Alfred Perez says the two that I miss a lot because they were so short-lived was Turbo Teen and Space Cats. Yeah. The Littles,
maybe
the Littles and Looney Tunes were
the
boss
Littles
too.
Was a thing. The Littles was like an old. They had an actual Littles movie. It was they were little people. It's like little tiny people living in a cellar, like elf creatures. It is kind of creepy. And there's a fucking movie, man. It was in the theaters.
Robert Hundley says he's got it broken down. 7 o'clock breakfast, 7:30 GI Joe, 8 o'clock Transformers, 8:30 Thundercats, 9 Voltron, 9:30 Garfield, 10 TMNT, 10:30 Ghostbusters.
Nice. Yeah, don't you have a Garfield stuck in the middle of all that like cavalcade of violence?
It's a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Garfield and Friends.
We give you a break.
Gabriel Diaz says Justice League, Static Shock, and Yu-Gi-Oh.
Metal.
Yu-Gi-Oh.
I did like Justice League. I forgot about that one.
Travis K says Looney Tunes in general was and still is still my favorite as long as Tom and Jerry, my favorite Saturday morning cartoon. My favorite routine, though, was to watch Toonami, The Rising Sun on Cartoon Network while eating a big old breakfast.
Yeah. I thought Toonami was after school.
I thought so, too, but that might have been one of those move things. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Not sure.
Yeah, like double. Well, what's after Dragon Ball Z taking off? You got to have your.
I'm surprised no one said Tiny Toons.
That's a hardcore after school one.
That was after school?
That was an after school one for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering because I remember with Ninja Turtles, it became an after school thing Monday through Friday, watching it every single day I got home. But I was researching it, and the first 3 seasons were Saturday morning only.
Yeah.
So that's what hooked me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it.
So that's the Saturday morning cartoon rituals, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that was beautiful is what that was.
Nostalgia.
Fucking metal.
Yeah, that's what's funny is, man, I remember during the summers, I would sleep till 5 p.m., but I'd still wake up for Saturday morning cartoons. All right, now it's time for my segment called Hey, That's Not Funny, and we talk about all sorts of stuff that's not funny, and this one's very not funny. It comes from a New York Times article from this year that's titled, Why Are White Death Rates Rising? Yes, Black Lives Matter, but apparently the increase in the amount of white people that are dying since it's been climbing since 1999 for non-Hispanic whites from ages 45 to 54, with the largest increase of them dying from poisonings of chronic liver disease, drug overdoses, alcohol abuse, and suicides. In contrast, death rates for overall for blacks and Hispanics have dropped down. There's a graphic here that shows that non-Hispanic whites, white people, have gone up 11%.
That's a huge discrepancy. Yes.
Non-Hispanic blacks, yes, they're unfortunately getting killed more by police officers, but overall, they are their death rates have gone 23%, or I guess a grand total of 34% better over the past few years since the past 15 years. So it's an interesting thing, that they're attributing this to a couple of different things. One, they're showing that the optimism also, for, the white people is going down, considerably far as opposed to the optimism for Hispanics and blacks overall. So it says, it's the least optimistic. The percentage responding that their standard of living is much better or somewhat better than their parents. Among those ages 25 to 54 without four-year college degrees. So what they've shown is that it's likely that many of these, this is from the actual report, says it's likely that many of these non-college educated whites are comparing themselves to a generation that had more opportunities than they have had, whereas many blacks and Hispanics are comparing themselves to a generation that had fewer opportunities.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
So when you look at how blacks and Hispanics have, you know, over the past, you know, 20 or past couple of generations, you know, they've been able to get, you know, the right to vote and the right to go to college and non-segregation. And so you're looking at, especially with Hispanics, the immigrants that are coming in and their parents came across the border and have zero education. And now they have sort of these lives that they can grow to, whereas white people, apparently, it's like you're looking back in the baby booming generation where there was so much, you know, increase in jobs and pay and all this stuff. They're being less optimistic, apparently. So it's a really interesting phenomenon. Of course, it's not very happy. This is a very sad topic.
This is not funny.
Especially for Brennan here. Sorry.
Look at that arc, Brennan. Look at that. Think about that arc next time you're fucking making miniature food.
He's not the one making miniature food. All right. Jets. So it's just an interesting thing to look at. We posted the article online if you want to depress yourself even more, especially if you're a white person. But it's not it's just something that I thought was fascinating as far as the optimism level. So it's brought me to my fun question of, or have you grown more optimistic or less optimistic as you've grown older? For me, it's a weird answer, I guess, in the fact that I've stayed the same. I've been an incredibly optimistic person ever since I was younger, and I have luckily been able to maintain that level of optimism. I don't know why. It's just ever since I was, since like I was 15, I like figured I'm going to do stuff and enjoy life and have fun. And now I'm friggin' 36 years old and I'm like, I'm going to do stuff and I'm going to enjoy life and I'm going to have fun. And so that really hasn't changed as far as like outlooks on the future. Like every year I'm super happy to look back on the previous year and go like, oh wow, we did a lot of cool stuff. Like every single year I've been lucky enough and blessed enough to like with Jess and Community Go-Go and just artistically, creatively, education-wise, career-wise, it's been awesome. I've been able to luckily be incredibly optimistic and continue to be optimistic. And so for me, I haven't. It's kind of stayed the same, which is kind of cool, I guess. So I hasn't gotten any better, but at the same sense, it's cool because it was pretty good when I was younger. So that's where I stand. If you guys want to chime in,
I feel like my optimism is a roller coaster. Like, okay. You know, it definitely was way higher as a kid, and then you know, as things got older, we all deal with like much crap and weird things. And so every time I feel lucky enough to be honestly, I feel lucky enough that every time my optimism is challenged or gets really low, because it can, something good comes along that reminds me of like the good things to come. And then, now I've been dealing with a lot of other, you know, heavy things in my life. But then all of a sudden this Ghostbusters thing came up and reminded me, you know what? Your life is pretty cool sometimes. And it's just those little reminders that keep me grounded and a little bit more optimistic. And, it makes me want to try to be happier and more optimistic versus me. Because normally I'm extremely cynical and angry and just like everything is, this is all terrible. And back in my day, things were cooler.
Wow.
But now back in my day is here and we're like Ghostbusters, you know. And I'm eating a Twinkie made of marshmallows. And so it's those little
world we live in.
It's the little things that keep my optimism going, because it's definitely a roller coaster. Sometimes it's really high and then sometimes it hits rock bottom. But praise be the universe as it provides. I always get a little reminder to be happy because you're alive and you're doing well and you're living some cool dreams. So when you look back, like you said, and I've done, every time I take just 10 seconds to look back at what I've accomplished within the last 31 years of my life.
Dude, absolutely.
I've done more than most people could imagine they could accomplish. Absolutely. So I can't complain at the end of the day. And it's that constant reminder that
you met Lacey Chabert.
That is a highlight of my life.
Yeah. F everything. That, yeah. You. Lacey Chabert. I'm amassing the amount of things I'm amassing the amount of things that I'd trade in that I've done.
You can have Tony Hawk, man. Seriously, dude. Tony Hawk. Fucking hang out with him.
The moment they said that Lacey Chabert could be in my piece of film, I was like, and my life is complete.
And we're good, and that's right.
Penny from Lost in Space. I get to talk to her.
Oh. Now, that's awesome. That's hilarious.
Because Penny from Lost in Space, that defined women for me for like the next 20 years. I was like, I want someone like that. Cool, rebel, alternative, smart, sexy, you know? Yeah. And like with cool pixie hair, like looking stuff. And she's a rebel. And so like
meeting
her, I was like, oh.
Oh, man. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have. You know what? I probably wouldn't have handled that situation very well now.
She is really nice because she let me geek out on set for lunch. We had a lunch together and I said, I'm sorry, I need to get this out of my system. Please forgive me. I know this is unprofessional. And I went off and I was like, I love Lost in Space. It's one of my favorite freaking movies. I have your toy. Could you please sign my Blu-ray cover? Oh my God. And she was just flabbergasted because I guess, you know, it didn't do well. So she loves it when someone is like, I grew up on it and it was my thing and I loved it and Gary Oldman was in it. You know what I'm saying? And so, God bless her. She's the loveliest lady. And she's having a baby now. So congrats to her and her lovely baby to come.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. For me, actually, yeah, for sure. Optimism levels have skyrocketed because I think as a teen and, I think I just early college, I really didn't think things were great. I really thought that, not that life sucked, but I just thought like it's not going to get better than this. It isn't.
What's weird is because, a lot of people, there's that fear of like peaking at high school.
Yeah.
That like, I don't know, that's a terrifying thing. And working in a high school and knowing some students, sometimes you can look back and go like, there's a lot of people that.
But I did have that fear of like when I was working the Shamrock and going to school and taking a bus and all this other shit. And like, really getting pulled over a block away from my house. And I'm like, I'm just coming home from work. Well, yeah, I saw you driving around. Here's a ticket. God damn it.
Yeah.
And then, just can't catch a break with the girls. And I thought it just was, that whole peaking at high school was like, no, this is my life. I'm just going to work at this gas station or wherever it is. And I'm going to get this, I don't even know what this degree's doing right now, because the time I first went to SAC, I was like, I'm going to be a communicator, and did the whole public speaking thing. And I was like, but what am I going to talk about? I don't like politics. I don't like public relations. I hate the idea of like wearing suits. I was like, this isn't doing anything for me.
Yeah, no one's going to take you serious when you're going in your Gundam Wing t-shirt.
No one's going to take me seriously.
And your Bart Simpson
shorts. My Bart Simpson shorts. Like, no one's going to take bald Bart Simpson seriously. And so it wasn't until like actually kind of starting with Comedia Go-Go and finishing like the whole, radio, television, and film, and meeting the right people and having good friends and stepping out of comfort zones
and starting to get that quality of life to where, no, you have the ability to start creating and doing things, and it just consistently gets better every year after every year. It's just been a jump in every category of life. And
yeah, man, you got like six TVs.
Yeah, I do. It's
that's
awesome. Yeah,
that's highlight.
Yeah, exactly.
TV bar.
I got the problems you have. Where am I going to put my next set of Legos? Like when that when you have those kind of problems, that's all right. So
we have good problems.
But the actual like optimism level really shines going to Larry's predicament. And I've talked about this when other people ask how Harry's doing or whatever, or how I feel it's doing. My optimism shines in disgusting ways because I have like zero doubts. Like, oh, Larry's going to be fine. What a big baby. You know, like I never once doubted that he was going to pull through. Like, that's how like bad my optimism levels are. With all the horrible things going on and the shootings and the fucking cars plowing through people and whatever, like I still feel in my heart of hearts like that's only the fraction of the world and the rest of it's way better. And I'm probably wrong, but I feel like that's just the glumminess. It's like a glum little corner of the world and we're just being magnified and shown at a giant lens where the rest of the world is actually better and the quality of life is getting better. And granted, we have a lot of things to fix and solve and we're not quite there yet and blah, blah, blah. But I think about 20 years ago or something like that. I'm like, oh no, there's a better world out there. And I just have that optimism. It's probably not healthy, but I got it. So there it is.
Brandon, you can't talk. You're only 22. Yeah.
Life looks great from here up. God damn it.
I was a nihilist out the womb. You know?
This all means nothing.
It's interesting. I'm in kind of in a transitionary phase of that right now, which I guess is normal. And all of this. All of these things that
real quick. How old are you again?
I am 22.
Okay, so I was right.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. So I know that anything I'm feeling right now, I'm kind of trying to contextualize it like fucking every 22-year-old ever has gone through this. Right. So I'm trying not to worry about it too much. But yeah, I've always been told I was very mature for my age from like being a little kid, very mature. And I've always had a great, like, I guess not really a compliment, just natural memory and intelligence, I guess, in that regard, where I never really had to try very hard, like in school. It just was one of those things that was easy for me. You know, social stuff, all that I had to learn, school being getting A's, whatever, was easy. And so I guess in that regard, I wasn't optimist. I never had to be, I can do this. It was just like I just do it.
I got this. This is fine. Move on. I'm gonna fucking do it.
And so, but like you hear with a lot of people like that, once you get, that doesn't last your whole life. Once you get to the point where, you do have to try now. You do have to, here's something that you don't know how to do. Here is, you know, we have super high expectations because you're so smart. What do you do now? So I was, went through a real, I guess negative time. It wasn't ever depressed or anything, but it was a real downtime when I was in college because I was like, I went through my whole life being like, I didn't work towards anything. I'm not optimistic about anything. And what do? I don't know what I'm doing. And so I passed that. I mean, I graduated, I got over it. And I'm kind of at a point, you know, I'm seeing the opportunities that are there and it's one of those leap of faith moments. And, you know, I seeing potential to do stuff and kind of like it's a scared optimism.
Just trying to think of where I was when I was 22 and it was just starting up with Comedian Go-Go and God, where was I working? I don't even know if I had a job. Where was I? Was I working at HEB corporate?
You might have been,
just finishing up at SAC. I don't know.
You're doing
I was way
SAC,
behind.
But you did the HEB corporate thing and then.
I was finishing up my associate's degree.
You had a part-time shift at a GameStop.
That was a couple years later.
We collectively did a GameStop corporate training video.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an experience.
And then an HEB corporate training video.
And so. Yeah.
Wow. I think it's still being shown.
Yeah. It's somewhere. It's still online.
And yeah, in 240p and all the glorious resolution.
Exactly.
You know, this really
I have
bad
students that are still finding that thing, which is terrifying.
So you have a building optimism, is what it is.
Yeah,
right? You have that nice opportunity to look forward to optimism. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Which is kind of nice.
You're optimistic about optimism.
Yeah, you're pre-gaming optimism.
I'm optimistic externally. I'm not optimistic about what I can do with it.
Right. But you know what's there.
Yeah. It's like, I can do this right now. I can do all this shit, but I have to do that.
I have to do it.
you know, and it's, I don't know. It's weird, but I will say overall, it's not a huge jump, but it's been a bit, you know, a little bit of an increase.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Wonderful.
All right. Facebook Answers. James Wells says, the more I learn about history, the more I learn that we're better off.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Live longer.
Bruno Garcia says, less optimistic. Straight up. All right. Betty Garza says, I've grown more optimistic until I turn on the news.
So that's just it's just a town corner. It's just a town corner. That's how I talk when I got chill bones in my mouth. Okay? Town corner.
It's more, we see the horribleness that's going on, but it's just magnified horribleness. It doesn't mean that there's more of it.
Right.
Andrew Thomas says, I'm generally less optimistic. It is hard to be optimistic with people purging each other all the time. It's hard to be optimistic when the future is so grim. Oh, Andrew, it's going to be okay.
That's going to be fine. The purge isn't going to happen.
No.
Obelisk.
I think it is going to happen.
Diamond Mason says, more optimistic. I got bullied as a kid. Optimism was not my friend. At this point, there's not someone whose life goal is to make me cry every day or push me into the dirt. Now my abilities to focus on daily happiness is not reliant on someone being absent. So definitely more optimistic.
Good.
Awesome.
Excellent. Yes.
It gets better.
That's the whole
slogan?
Thing.
Yeah.
Kylie Gogo says, I think more optimistic. Some people in high school made life really crappy for a long time, but I've met some amazing people since then that have helped me a lot and always make me feel better about myself and my future. That's what I work in high school. I tell kids, I'm like, look, you're going to meet way better people.
Yeah. This is just now.
You're going to meet so many better people after this. Much cooler people. Much better people that you're not forced to hang out with on a daily basis. Greg Forrest says more. Young people are more diverse and tolerant than their parents were. They need to vote early and often. Ross Carter says, I'm more optimistic about my own life, but growing more and more disenchanted with how the country is run, especially how regressive it is. It's going to be okay, Ross.
I'm fine.
Janie Matisek says, I try to be more optimistic in my own life, which I can say has happily worked as I'm working towards a promotion at work. Good job, Janie.
Yeah.
But the news likes to crush that optimism daily. Zachary Forte-Scom says, way more pessimistic. How else is a new graduate supposed to feel in this job market?
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully I calm the hell down. Yeah, sorry, Zach. It'll get better.
It gets better.
RTB Ryan Timothy Bray says, that's a tough one to answer. The older I get, the more miserable and depressed I get, and I feel betrayed by my past optimism. However, despite feeling worse, I guess I still think that it'll get better. So both? All right. Alfred Perez says, I was never optimistic. I live in a perpetual state of dark, heart-wrenching, gut-churning cynicism.
Nice.
Yep. It's practically a religion. My mantra is hope for the best, expect the worst. Oh. Accept what you get. Is that hopeful?
I don't know.
Take it.
It gets better, Alfred.
But you said aggressive to people. It gets better. Stop whining. What are you, a baby?
Josh Pullen, he just put a quote, says, for in much wisdom is much grief. Ignorance is bliss. Gabriel Diaz says, I'm a pessimist for sure. F your idealistic ass. Like, screw you.
Yeah.
I'm plenty idealistic, Gabriel. It's going to be better.
Nah, dude, it's going to blow.
You got 2 degrees, son.
Yeah, you got 2 degrees. Yeah, exactly.
You're freaking smashing all sorts of stuff down in Corpus.
Yeah.
Stacy Medina says, more optimistic. And Travis K says, if anything, I've gotten more pragmatic as I've gotten older, although that line blurs more with pessimistic tendencies.
Oh, but he's got a baby.
Yeah.
He's got to look better.
You got to keep it positive for your mini-me, Travis.
I will say one thing. When I was in high school, when Facebook first started to be as big as it was, there's a lot of cringeworthy posts because I had this weird, like, I was like a optimism hipster. I was like, everyone's optimistic. I'm pessimistic, you guys. You guys are too happy. I'm going to shit on your happiness. And so I eventually deleted them because I just had these cringeworthy posts of, like, you think things are so great. And nothing was wrong. Nothing was, like, everything was fine in my life. I just just like, not everything is as great as you think it is. It was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. I was an asshole.
And so. If you read it back in retrospect, you can't narrow down, like, why did I have that thought? Like, what was the root of that? And it's probably something as base of, like, less sweetener in the soda, so you like just straight up carbonated water. Ah, the world's burning, Keep a trash.
Yeah,
and all I see is fucking sewage in the streets, driving cars like damn they fucking straight. Sent me it. They're just
they shorted me a burrito driving, at Taco Bell,
driving, breathing garbage, and then you go back to the root of it. It's like you just had like a sip of bad soda.
They put mustard on my Whataburger, and I said no mustard.
Montage of Mad World playing.
Yeah, everyone like life's a gift. Life's a fucking hurling. Rock toward the sun. 10 years from now, it's gonna burn up and be nothing. Nothing. It's like, settle down, man. It's just
these fries didn't just tea, man. It's just it's tea. Just
these
tea.
Fries didn't keep well on the drive home.
Well,
anyway, so yeah,
you're right. That's not funny.
It isn't. Yeah. White people dying more.
White people dying. That's not funny.
That's not funny.
That's not funny. That's not something I'm optimistic about.
Nope.
That arc doesn't make me happy.
Nope.
No.
I don't want Brennan to die.
Brennan, it'll get better.
Yeah. All right.
But it does get better, Brennan.
It does get better. Right, yeah. Exactly.
But you might die.
All right. Statistically.
All right. So that concludes another episode of Public Access, guys. Thank you, Brian, Brent, for coming out here. You guys have both been on the show before. You've both been on Public Access. So you both know that this is an educational program where we want to make sure that everybody learns something. So we ask you the question of what you came to know in today's podcast, what you came to know about yourselves, us, life in general, anything. So think about that, and we will say, Jess, what did you come to know today?
What I came to know is that as illustrated in my topic, I had mentioned the rabbit hole of miniature cooking, and there's an audience for that, a wide audience of that, and you gotta accept that in that audience there's a superstar of miniature cooking out there. I don't know his name because I don't read the fucking guys, like the top hitter of that thing or whatever. But what I came to know is that knowing that there has to be a superstar of
Tech decks. Yes.
Like, there's a superstar. Not like the movie
you're
we're talking about, like,
right
hypothetically. But there's a dude's fingers are famous. His fingers are fucking famous because they can do tricks. And that guy's got a line of fucking finger shoes and finger boards. And he has a brand. And there's a superstar in every arena, even Digimon, even fucking like Yu-Gi-Oh, and even tech boarding. There is a superstar in everything, and you just go out and meet your heroes. They're approachable, and you can geek out on them and get them to sign your fucking Lost in Space Blu-ray. Yes. Because those heroes are approachable. They're everywhere. Just go out there and meet them. Just do it within reason. Don't be a stalker. Do it within the confines of reality.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I came to know. There's superstars in every movie.
I've come to know, off of Brennan as well, that Pokemon is to pop music as Yu-Gi-Oh! Is to metal.
Yeah.
I did not know that Yu-Gi-Oh! Was like dark and metal and had like demons and stuff. I thought it was the same thing. I thought it was Yu-Gi-Oh! Digimon, I thought they're all just cute little things that you throw at each other. But Obelisk the Tormentor, man. That's not messing around. That's no Pikachu.
I regret not seeing this metal Yu-Gi-Oh.
What I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna like Google Wikipedia, see all the names, and be like, oh damn, and just imagine them all being metal songs or metal bands.
Yeah.
Metal album titles. Because, Obelisk the Tormentor, man. Just.
Exactly. Like, Pokemon's Blink 182, and then Digimon is like some 41.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. And Yu-Gi-Oh! Is fucking Slayer.
Yeah.
just straight up Slayer. Like, this is a just giant gap of hardcore reality. That's a word. Yeah. So.
Brian, what did you come to know?
I came to know that, I learned that I had no idea I had a burning passion to create and cultivate the first tech deck based movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, call it something like Tech Tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like a fingerboard on a sunset, and that's the poster. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
The tomorrow is your finger, but today is tech.
No, that's the subline in there. Really like it's Lords of Palmtown.
There you go. Lords of Palmtown. There you go. That's the name of the movie. And so I learned that today, this right now, this group is going to create Lords of Palm Town.
So, yeah, it should be a
tech tomorrow.
Should it be a documentary or just like an actual like narrative film?
I think a narrative film. Okay. Narrative film. Right. Yeah,
because you can go to again going to the montage, the super pro with the Apple tunnel. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
He used to be the best.
Right. Yeah. You know, we can mock it off of like that classic Jonathan Brandis film, like Sidekicks, you know?
Where, yeah.
You know, saying so he meets.
Oh, man, like that. Yeah, the one dreams about fucking tagging with him.
Exactly.
He dreams that he's going to. And then he actually does it
against the bad tech dojo people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Bad dojo. Oh, God.
But the other dude, the bad guy dude, his fucking forearm is just like Popeye arm.
Yeah.
Just fucking big, beefy fucking fingers.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. We'll get someone cool like, and we'll get someone old school like Andrew Dice Clay to be the bad guy. You know what I'm saying? Because he's not doing anything, needs something.
All right.
And just have him, before you do his shot, you just have him do a few reps. Yep. And he's just got this,
some like stretching with his fingers, like some finger stretches.
Big, beefy, veiny fingers. Just really just some big sausage fingers.
So,
yeah, that'll be a good
coming soon. Man. Lords of Palm Town.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, and that's going to warn all kinds of unwanted views, like, Lords of Palm Town. But first, they're going to come geared for Lords of Palm Town, but they're going to see, they're like, I'll watch this.
This is intense.
Yeah, they'll put it away and watch it. Yeah. They will watch it.
Clickbait succeeds.
Yeah.
I feel like I have the tech deck still. I'm going to go home immediately and check. Because this has inspired me as well, obviously. I would go look in my closet and see if they were kept or put in some garage sale or something.
That's beautiful.
What I came to know, a couple of things, both optimistic and not. It does get better.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy a lot of things I don't know how to do.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess that's okay though.
No, it's totally okay.
Yeah. You don't have to be good at the things you enjoy. You can have fun. I wasn't good at Yu-Gi-Oh or skateboarding, but it doesn't mean I had any less fun reading Tony Hawk's biography, which I did, or you know, buying stupid plastic figurines of evil monsters.
No, I get it. I'm a giant fan of Ninja Warrior / American Ninja Warrior. There's no way in God's hell am I going to like dangle myself on those bars, or well, maybe one day I might do. The goal is to at least try and get past the triangle steps, past the first one. If I can do that, then it's like, all right, yeah, then I did that. I'm pretty sure I can do the first two obstacles. I have that optimism.
Dress in a silly costume, and then if you don't make it that far, everyone's like, oh, he was in
this. That's the one component missing from American Ninja Warrior, is they don't have the shitty throwaway
the goofy ones.
They're all top tier, real good athletes. They need the dumb ones that kind of fail a little bit. Yeah,
average Joe to kick in.
Yeah,
there,
exactly.
Like,
yeah,
I work at a restaurant and I can do this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that does it for us. You guys have anything coming up? Any shows? Any stuff that you want to promote?
Yeah. So Ghostbusters SATX will be at our next stop will be Texas Comic Con at the end of the month, in July. So we'll be there. And then we have plans, obviously, for San Japan, and then Alamo City Comic Con, and we'd love to see people come out and enjoy Ghostbusters with us, talk Ghostbusters with us. Always looking to recruit. We've got some raffles coming up too with some sweet Ghostbuster prizes. So we're keeping busy as much as we can, and you know, let us hit us up on Facebook at Ghostbusters SATX. Let us know you love the movie. If you don't like the movie, well, you don't like the movie. That's okay. We'll respect your opinions.
Yes.
But then we'll boot you off of the page. But we'll respect it for the time that we read it until we boot you off. And word up to, what is it, Ghostbuster Sheboygan. So we love you guys.
Yeah, those guys need to step up their game. They're obviously,
we love you guys.
Yeah, they're all right, I guess.
Brennan? ACI performs every Friday and Saturday.
Of course they do.
At 8:25 on the dot.
It's Friday and Saturday now.
And Saturday night. We added Saturdays, which is a lot of fun. We have our improv. It's, you know, we do a bunch of different forms, bunch of different fun stuff. We also have teams come in from Austin mostly.
Mm-hmm,
there's a lot of great improv coming out of Austin. We also have some teams growing here.
you know, about an hour and a half show every Friday and Saturday in the Blind Tiger Comedy Club that's inside the Magic Time Machine.
That's right.
And also, if anyone's in Austin, we are going to be at the Out of Bounds Comedy Festival. Is in a couple weeks, two or three. I think it's in the middle of August sometime. I don't remember the exact dates. It's a, like a week-long thing. But we will be there. So check us out at that. And there's going to be a ton of just comedy jizz everywhere. Comedy all over the place.
Yeah, comedy just jizz. Yards and yards of comedy jizz.
Arcing ropes of molten hot comedy jizz.
Yeah. Come and taste some. Please. Yes, please. Have some. Have some.
And Jess, do we have anything going on?
Oh, nothing much. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. We highly appreciate you guys taking a part of public access here on oneofus.net. Our latest news that's pretty cool is that we screened our short film, Get the Hell Out, at the Fort Worth Indie Film Showcase, and we were nominated for Best Comedy Short. We were nominated for Best Horror Short. We were nominated for some weird award called There Will Be Blood, which I'm not sure what that entailed, but we did win the Best Comedy Short Domestic at the Fort Worth Indie Film Showcase.
Yeah.
We were there, actually, in Fort Worth. Me and Regan were there. They were wonderful. They were very hospitable. We had a great time, met some neat people, met some cool people. But we drove home Sunday afternoon, came home, and the award ceremony was going at 7 o'clock, and I was listening to it while I was watching TV. And yay, we won Best Comedy Domestic Short, so that is awesome. And also, Get the Hell Out will be playing as a part of the San Antonio Film Festival in a sci-fi and horror shorts block on the Thursday night, July 28th at 9:15 p.m. at the Tobin Center. So us fine gentlemen will be there screening our movie along with other sci-fi and horror-like-minded movies. So come on out. Give us some high fives. It'll be a lot of fun. And more to come in that department pretty soon. Hey, everybody, go to Larry's page and pat him on the back and say congratulations and keep on living and all that good stuff. He's doing pretty good. He still has a GoFundMe, so every little bit helps him in post-surgery. That actually also help out very well. And hopefully the next time you listen, he will be back in the chair podcasting with us. He's doing great. I hung out with him. We were working on his live special and started the editing process of that. And homeboy is doing good. He's just not allowed to drive around. Doctor's orders. So, but and he's also just ordered to kind of sit up and rest up. A big chunk of his body is missing.
Yeah, he had giant gaping holes in him a couple of weeks
ago. Yeah, exactly. So, again, he's like Wolverine. He heals fast. He's just a pansy. And we love him. And so, yeah, and you will be, if this is the first time you're listening to us on Public Access, go to Public Access at ComediaGoGo, hashtag Public Access on Twitter, and on Facebook, ComediaGoGo. And we also have the Public Access Happy Camper page where you can answer questions. So it's a lot of fun. Thanks a bunch for listening. We love you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you guys listening. As always, this is Regan.
And this is Jess Brennan. Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will...